जय शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजाचार्य अष्टोत्र शत श्री शिवान अभय चरणारविंद भक्त वेदांत गोस्वामी हरशील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम तिलिला प्रविष्ट शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजाचार्य अष्टोत्र शत श्री शिवान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महर्षील प्रभुपाद की आनंद गौड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की रामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुबनी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमो शुभदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मां उद्धर भवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पादयोर्समजायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्मयादिदरदश्चातेष्वभिज्ञस्वरा तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवै मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयाम् तेजोवारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहगं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जितकैतवोत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वाबरेश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरो गणितं फलं शुभमुखादमृतद्रव संयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा यं प्रव्रजन्तं हनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमाजुहावां पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमा नतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्यासशूनम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणु कुणिदाद्रदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भतां मुरारय मधुरीं न कनिगावि काविगावि नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवि गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणी। ശ്രീമതി ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമഃ. വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ യാസം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമഃ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം യാഥാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയന് വീണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ. നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധി കുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ. പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേ ത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാമോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത്. വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല. അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാമർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം. പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാഭൂതിദം. ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പ്രേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ. മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഃ. ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. വിശ്വം ദർപ്പണ ദൃശ്യമാന നഗരി തുല്യം നിജം ദർഗധം പശ്യന്നാത്മനി മായയാ ബഹിരിവോദ്ഭൂതം യഥാ നിദ്രയാ. യാ സാക്ഷാൽ കുരുതേ പ്രബോധസമയേ സ്വാത്മാനമേവ ദ്വയം തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമ ഇദം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ. സോ യെസ്റ്റർഡേ വി വർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് വിശ്വം. Vishwam means this world, what's been in front of us. So, what we have spoken yesterday, that every contact we have in this world, particularly with every other person here, is due to the presence of either due to some disturbance inside us, which has created, caused that relationship to develop with another person. From the spiritual point of view, we are all individual entities, in the sense that we have no relationship. Our relationship with the Atma, that is our actual relationship. Personal relationship, what we call us in this world, is due to some disturbance inside us. Disturbance means that in our vasanas there has been some movement that has caused this relationship to build up with another person. Or due to another sattvika vikaram. Vikaram means another emotions which is in the mode of goodness. The all relations what we have in this world is the external projection of that. External projection of our internal disturbance that has come in the form of other personalities in this world. And every incident in life, what we face here, is something like what you are seeing inside the mirror. So it is not actually a philosophy, it is a tatvam of the life. That means each and every moment, every moment is a contact. It's like a mirror that always we have to, that is what the first verse is saying, Vishwam Darpanam. Remember that the world is a mirror. Mirror of us is that the world inside. What is inside us is reflecting in the world. That is why it says Vishwam Darpanam. Darpana means mirror. Vishwam, the world is a mirror. The world is a mirror. In other words, something that is inside us is standing outside in some form in front of us. Something that is inside us is standing in a form outside us. So, actually when you are looking at that person, you are looking at yourself. You are looking at yourself. So, that's why we mentioned yesterday, when we all see one person, all of us have different reactions on that, is it not? We don't react in the same way to one person. One person, say somebody standing there, we look at them, say 10 people are looking. All 10 people have 10 different emotions in relationship with that person. So, therefore, the personality and the emotion what he builds up inside, the personality is standing outside, and the emotion that is built up inside, there is no relationship. There is no relationship. The result is, the effect is, due to the vasana inside, that a particular emotion is created towards that person. Towards that person. So, where is the emotion coming from? That personality is only a symbol of the emotions that you have inside you. Inside you. Because otherwise, if that person is responsible, then everybody must feel the same about him or about her. But we don't. We all feel, 10 people feel 10 different ways about that person. Is it not? When somebody says, oh, he's a very good person, he's a very good friend, he's a very good, reliable person. Another person says, no, you can't trust him. So why different people get different emotions from the same person? That is to show to us that the reaction what you experience when you see a person is not due to the person, but it is due to the vasana inside us. That is what is coming out. And that person is a reflection of that disturbance what you have inside, but standing in a form outside. That's all it is. So, this person, the person who is looking, he is seeing that person standing there. But where is the emotion developing? Within himself. Inside him the emotion is built up, isn't it? So, you don't have to remove that person, but actually if you correct inside your emotions, then that person will become insignificant. That means there is some vasana inside that is building up and that is in the form of that person there. But if the correction happens inside, that that person will become insignificant and he will move away from your field, from your field once for all. Or you will forget about him. Something will happen in some form or the other, that relationship will break up inside. So, so that is why it says here, see that, third and fourth verse, third and fourth words, Vishwam Darpanam. Vishwam is a mirror. How? Drishyamana Nagari. Tulyam Nijandargadam. Drishyamana Nagari. It is like a reflection outside. Drishyamana Nagari. Darpana Drishyamana Nagari. That means that the whole thing, what we are seeing here, is like a mirror which is reflecting a town. Which is reflecting a town. So, like a huge city, suppose you have put a mirror there to reflect the whole town. Similarly, the whole creation is reflecting in front of us. Just like if you keep a mirror in front of a town, say for example, if you keep a mirror here, all those houses, buildings, everything reflects in that mirror. Similarly, but there is one problem with this mirror reflection. Everything is in the reverse order, isn't it? For example, my right hand, if I look into the mirror, it is the left hand there. And my left hand is the right hand there, when you look at the mirror, isn't it? So, everything is in the reverse order that you see in the mirror. But, what happens is, we think when we look at the mirror, it's an actual reflection of us. But we ignore this, that my right hand is coming there as the left hand. My left hand is coming there as the right hand, isn't it? So therefore, it is not an actual reflection. It's not an actual reflection. Therefore, what do we have to do? If I have to move my right hand in the mirror, I have to move my left hand. Is it not? If I want to move the right hand inside the mirror, I have to move my left hand. Similarly, in this creation, if you want to correct something, you can't go and correct there. You have to correct here. You have to correct within yourself. You have to correct within yourself. And because everything is reverse. Everything is reverse. And just like the reverse reflection is a reversing of the what you reflect in the mirror, is a reflection in the reverse form of this creation. So, like they call it as Bimba Pradibimba Vadam. Bimba Pradibimba Vadam means Bimbam is the world. If you have a mirror in front of that world, what that reflects is Pradibimbam. What reflects is Pradibimbam. And Pradibimbam is just like you see in the mirror. If it is reflecting in the mirror, if Pradibimbam, that means the reflection is in the mirror, where is the Bimbam? Bimbam is inside us. So, the Bimbam, Bimbam is inside us. That's why, Nija Antargadam Karanalma Grihesthitaha, Upanishad says, Nija Antargadam Karanalma Grihesthitaha, it is all packed up inside the Karana Shariram, Karana Shariram. Here also it says, Tulyam Nijam Andargadam. It is inside us. The world is inside us. That is the point Acharya Swamiji says in this first verse. That Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam Nija Andargadam. It is all inside us. The whole world is inside us. Pashyan Almani Mayaya Bihirivod Bhudham Yadha Nidraya. So, Nija Andargadam Karanalma Grahesthitaha. That means that in the Karana Shariram, Karanalma means Karana Shariram or Karana causal body, everything is packed up inside us. So, inside all of us, in the form of vasanas, every situation that we have to experience in this world, the whole life, and our own life, everything is very carefully packaged and kept in the causal body, in Karana Shariram. It is present there. Whatever we are going to experience in whole life, whatever way we are going to react in that situation, all that is already known and it's already kept inside the Karana Shariram. Karana Shariram. In other words, it is due to that vasanas inside, at different times in life, different people come into our life, and they take birth. For example, parents. How did certain parents come to us as parents? Because inside us we had some vasana which has to create a personality like that as parents for us. So accordingly the parents had come. Similarly, a child is born, and it is an amazing thing when you move out of all these things and stand away from that and look at the whole thing, scene about your own life, family, friends, society and all that. You can see that a child is born, for example. When the child is born, where is the future of the child? The future of the child. We ask the child, what would you like to be when you grow up? We ask the children, isn't it? Initially he will say, I want to be a pilot, or I want to be a bus driver, or whatever he thinks at that time in his mind. But that's not what happens at the end. Why? Because later on, when the Karana Shariram opens up, from there the real vasana start flowing. And the result of that, because Karana Shariram is like this, just like in a small seed, the whole tree is packed up, isn't it? In a small seed, the whole tree is there inside that seed. Given time and given the environmental conditions favorably, from that seed comes a huge banyan tree. It's not amazing that? That in such a small banyan seed, small seed, a whole huge banyan tree is packed and kept. That is Krishna's arrangement. Similarly, our seed is inside. There is a seed inside all of us. Like the tree has come out from a seed, and that seed is a Karana Shariram. Karana Shariram or causal body is that seed where it comes from. So, and just like the tree, it is lying inside in that form there. And at different times, you can see from different seeds, different trees are coming out from different seeds. From one tree comes out the apple. Another tree, from a seed it comes out in the form of apple. Another seed it comes in the form of pears. Another from apricots. Other from peaches. In different fruits coming from similar seeds. So what is that thing in that seed that is making this to happen? Karana Shariram is like that seed. Karana Shariram is like that seed. Each one of us have a seed inside. And that seed is a Karana Shariram. And Karana Shariram, it comes out in different forms, different trees like us. All different trees with different vasanas, different nature, different behavior, everything. So, and just like when that seed, everything is popping up, the tree is popping up. Similarly, in this child's life also, when that tree is coming out and it starts growing, at the appropriate time, her husband will come or his wife will come in life. And similarly, like in his gross body, this is happening in the subtle level. Karana Shariram, it happens in the subtle level. Just like for a man, when he grows up, how his beard comes, how his mustache comes, and other things comes in the body and he changes the body. Similarly, in the Karana Shariram or causal body, when it starts growing, at the appropriate time, according to the vasanas inside, the correct husband will come or correct wife will come in life. And accordingly, you will have that marriage, everything happens. It is so well controlled inside, everything. So, and equally, that you can see, depending on the same vasanas inside, you will get the diseases also in life. Diseases comes, different kinds of diseases comes in life. So, or in some form or shape, it comes out. So, just like, as soon as you put a seed inside the ground, like a tree comes out from that, similarly all the vasanas that is packed inside your Karana Shariram comes out, and that becomes the world. It is the Karana Shariram that becomes the world later. When we say the world, what it means is that the world, generally you have to remember this way, that it is not the dead matter, the world. World is, the effect of this world is on us, is in four things. Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam, Ragam, Dvesham. This is all the world has got to do with it. There is no other effect of the world on us. These are the effect of the world on us, isn't it? Kartrutva, Bhoktrutvam, Raga, Dvesham. This is world. So, Kartrutva, Bhoktrutvam is I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Ragan Dvesham is attachment and aversion. So these four things, when we say about Vishwam, all this dead matter, for example, there are millions of planets and mountains and rivers and all that. It does not have any serious impact on us. But what actually impacts on us in life is persons around us or situations around us. Whatever it has its impact on us, that is more important. That is in the form of ragadvesham or kartratvam bhoktratvam. So these four things together is the world, is the world. And that is why that we are, what we say, prapancham or creation, is this vasanas inside has come out in the form of these personalities or situations, and that they are impacting on us. So that is the important thing. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nija antargatam pashyan atmani mayaya bahirivod bhudham yatha nidraya. Another example is that cinema projector. Remember? Cinema projector. So, in the olden days, it's not like that anymore. Now nobody goes to cinema theater. Everybody watches at home, isn't it? But when we were at school, 50, 60 years ago, there was no televisions. You had to go, want to see a movie, you had to go to a theater. You go and sit there with the mouth open, wow, like that, what's going on there? Thinking that something is going to happen. So, and in them days, electricity supply was very erratic. It was never, so the film starts at say 6 o'clock in the evening. And it's supposed to finish at 9:30, but it won't. What happens is, often electricity fails. And they didn't have generator or anything like that. So there will be a cut, electricity cut, and the whole theater will blow up. Everybody gets angry with it, but what can you do? Everybody shouts and all that. Then for 10, 15 minutes, there is no electricity. So that means there is no film. It stops somewhere, and then it restarts again when the electricity comes back. So sometimes the movie used to take, if it was 4 hours, it will go into 6 hours, 8 hours, something like that. So there is a light in front of you, and in front of the projector, and there is a lens, and then there is the screen, isn't it? So you have got a projector, you have got the lens, and there is a light from behind, and there is a screen in the front. Similarly, inside us also, it's a most appropriate comparison you can make. Inside us, there is still Jyoti. Jyoti is Atma inside. And still Prakasham, that means the emitting presence of that Atma comes out in the form of Prakasham, Chil Prakasham. So, what is that Chil Prakasham? Chil Prakasham means that always in the form of this awareness, I exist. That's coming from there, from that source. My awareness of my own existence, isn't it? And that is illuminating this. And at the same time, this Chil Prakasham is there and Chit Shakti is there, or Chil Jyoti, what is inside. And in front of all that, in the form of reel, this film reel, our vasanas are coming one after the other. The reel is rotating all the time based on our vasanas inside. And senses, our senses are the lenses. The senses are the lenses through which it is projected into the world outside. And what we see is our vasanas that is projected through the senses into the world outside, to outside. And that is what we call as our world. Our world. Our world is that. Whatever vasanas inside us, that is projected through our senses, which is called the lens here. And senses are the lens through which it is projected into the world. Our vasana, the reel of vasana is there. And behind that, the Atma is sending that light through the reel and through the senses. And therefore, these vasanas comes out freely and it turns out to be our world later. This is how the world has come into existence. So whatever that is in the vasana, that will always come out in the world through the senses. In fact, you can see, and the world is the screen. In the screen there is nothing. Just like we talked this before also, in the screen it will rain. In the screen there will be waterfalls or there will be fire. Fighting, war will happen, love will happen, there will be quarreling, death will happen. But the screen is not affected, is it not? The world is not affected by anything. When all these things are happening, where is the effect of that? All inside us. That is how we understand this. That when he says, when Ajahn Sam says here, Vishwam Darpana Drishyaman Nagari Tulyam Nija Andargadam. Everything is Andargadam. Nijam Andargadam it is. That Pashyan Almani. That Almani means the soul inside is emitting that. Chil Shakti is coming out in the form of Chit Prakasham, as it is called. So here, although so many things are happening in this world, the impact of all that is inside me. The world is not affected, is it not? That is from there you can see how correct it is. Raga Dvesham, Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam, everything is the effect of the world in us. When any incident happens in this world, where is the effect? Inside me. Suppose the war goes on, where is the effect? Inside me. Otherwise, say war goes on in somewhere in the world, but after effect of that is inside me. Why is it? Why is it like that? War is happening 5,000 miles away, for example. Some war happening. But it is having an effect in me, inside me. That is what he is saying here. Nija Andargadam. It is inside us. Why? Because there is some vasanas in me, inside me, that has some connection with that war. Some vasanas inside me has a connection with the war going on there. In my causal body, in Karana Shariram, I have some vasanas which are connected with that war that is going on inside. So therefore that war affects you. You see that? But you are individual, you have nothing to do with it. But still, because you have vasanas inside, you are connected with that. Personally you may not be connected, bodily you are not connected with that, you are far away from that. But through vasanas you are connected with that. So that is what he is saying here. That therefore, this is the way the film projector operates. Nowadays, I don't know what the technology is, but it's all changed. But long ago, this was a very established principle. If you go into a cinema theater, it's the most highest technology play is happening. It used to be funny when to watch that, how the film works, isn't it? So, according whatever that is in the film, that you will see on the screen. What is inside the film, you will see on the screen. Similarly, whatever vasanas inside you, accordingly you will experience the world. This film or vasanas inside has a strong relationship with the world you are living. It is such a close relationship with that. Whatever vasanas I have, accordingly I will experience this world. Accordingly I will experience the world. That is why it is said, what he mentions here, that Tulyam Nijandarg Mayaya Bahiribo. This is the job of Maya. See how beautifully she does that job. Maya's business, that is. How Maya has kept us very well organized in this way. Often you wonder, something happens somewhere in the world. Say, for example, you just give an example. I know you also can think in the same way. That some war is going on in South America. I'm not bothered. I don't know who they are, what they are. Some war happens in India, I get affected. Why? Both are war going on in South America and in India, Pakistan also is a war going on. But I get affected. Why? What's happening? Immediately you start thinking like that. And you are monitoring what's going on, everything. Why? It's my vasana inside. Whereas with South America, I have no vasana. So it doesn't bother me. That is the way it works. That's the way it works. You can see this all the time. According to your vasanas inside, that Karana Shariram, it has all the vasanas there, and accordingly we are reacting with the world. Accordingly, we are reacting with the world. So this is the mesmerism of Maya. See how Maya is able to control us in different ways. Maya says you have no freedom. I have packaged it already inside you. So you just have to act accordingly. Is it not? That we don't have any freedom. Where is the freedom? So and it is all happening. Maya is remotely controlling everything. But in order all these things to happen, the soul is necessary. Chilprakashe. Chilprakasha means that presence of the soul inside. When it starts emitting through the senses, it's called Vijrumbhanam in the Shastram. Vijrumbhanam. Then we say, this is what's the world of us, our world. Our world is like that. Our world is like that. The moment you take that film away, or the vasanas away, then what do you see in the screen? There is only light. There is only light. Similarly, if this film called vasana, if it goes away from us inside completely, then what you are seeing there on the screen is nothing but Krishna. Krishna means Paramatma who is present there. That's all you can see. You can't see anymore anything else. You can't see anymore anything else. Therefore, that is why it is at that time when you say the whole creation is Krishna's manifestation. That is when you say that. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijan dargadam. As long as we have vasana inside, our world will always be like this. Therefore, in Yanamargam they will say, the first thing is vasana chayam. Vasana chayam means continuously removing the vasanas from inside. By Yanamargam, they do it through studying Shastram, through Salsangam, through Japam, through Dhyanam, in various ways, how to completely wipe out the vasanas from inside. All the vasanas have gone, then what you find outside is the clear screen. There is no film anymore. There is no more vasanas there, so there is no film there, so there is no movie there anymore. So, at that time, vasana, when there is vasana there, that when there is vasana inside, you will see Krishna as the world. World as Krishna. And when vasanas have gone, then what happens? You see world as Krishna as the world. You see that difference there? When there is vasana inside, you will see the world not as Krishna. But instead of seeing Krishna, you will see the world. But when the vasanas have completely gone, then world alone, you cannot see the world anymore. You can only see Krishna there. That's the difference. That is what self-realization means. Complete vasanas have gone away from inside. Up to that point, we will have this problem. Because vasanas are there inside. Ragam, dvesham, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. In various ways, we will be complaining, we will be lamenting, we will be shogam. Krishna says, shogam, moham, sukham, dukham. All these things will be dehapatischa maya, he says. Krishna says that in the Ekadasha Skandham, you will see that. Shogamoho sukham dukham dehapatischa maya, in the 11th chapter. So, that is that saying that vasanas inside means shogam moham sukham dukham. All that has to be there. Once the vasanas have gone from inside, then in this world, because you have nothing inside, and inside is empty, the cylinder is empty there. So therefore, the light that comes from the self or the knowledge of the soul directly comes to the world, and therefore everything is Krishna's manifestation then. That is what, when we say in that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Pandita Samadarshinam, Samadarshitvam is that. That verse, Samadarshanam comes then. Only that's the way Samadarshanam. Samadarshanam does not mean that with all the ragadvesham inside, I'm trying outside to see Samadarshanam. That won't happen. Samadarshanam comes in this way. When my vasanas have completely gone, then for me, a living entity in this world is nothing but Paramatma present inside in that body. There is no more ragadvesham, no more kartrutva bhoktrutvam there. Krishna says about ragadvesham strongly in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayani indriyaischaran. ఆత్మవైశ్యే విధేయాత్మ ప్రసాదం అధిగచ్చది. సో రాగద్వేషు విముక్తైస్తు విషయాన్ ఇంద్రియశ్చరన్. సో యూ కెన్ సీ ద కనెక్షన్ దేర్ విత్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ దాట్ హౌ వాసనాస్ క్రియేటెడ్, వాసనాస్ కాస్ ది ఎక్సిస్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద వరల్డ్. సో వన్స్ ద వాసనాస్ హవ్ గోన్ దాట్ సో ఎవ్రీథింగ్ వాట్ యూ విల్ సీ విల్ బి పరమాత్మ స్వరూపం, కృష్ణస్ మేనిఫెస్టేషన్. The reason why we are not seeing as Krishna's manifestation at the moment is these vasanas are constantly obstructing that in us. What is inside us, vasanas, is constantly obstructing that. And the spurana, spurana means this emitting the rays of the Atma inside, which is always emitting, because unless the presence of Atma inside, all these things cannot work. It's only due to the presence of Atma, it's constantly working. So, when the spurana or the rays that's emitted from the self, it's constantly blocked by our vasana, then we are seeing this world as friendly, inimical, or whatever we feel, hankering, lamentation, all these things is the effect of that. So there is only one light, and that light is the awareness that I exist, my awareness of existence, and that is called bodham or awareness. That bodham is the thing that makes all these things happening. When you say Atma is present inside, means Atma's presence is noticed by the awareness inside, consciousness inside, isn't it? And and that is in the form of a power that comes out from there, from that awareness, and when your vasanas are blocking that, immediately we start experiencing the world in the way we are experiencing at the moment. That is why he says there, nija antargadam pashyan almani. That is that word, nija antargadam pashyan almani. Nijam antargadam pashyan almani. Because where is all these things happening? It is due to the Atma, in the soul. When the soul is present, only then you have ragadvesham. When the soul is present, only then you have vasanas. When the soul is present, only then you have the world in the form you are experiencing. So the cause behind everything is the soul. That's why it is mentioned like that. Nija antargadam pashyan almani. You are experiencing everything in Atma. Atma is behind that. All these force, all these what's happening. So, so all this experience of whole thing, world, everything, where does that happen? Almani, almani, in the Atma. So, for example, you are experiencing the world. Where do you experience? Almani. And your experience of this world is happening in the Atma. Because in the presence of the Atma only, you are aware of the existence of the world. Otherwise you won't know that, would you? Because you can see that if that bodham, awareness of your own existence, is not there, where is the question of awareness of the existence of the world? And where is the question of experiencing the world? All because you have awareness inside, bodham. That is why you are experiencing the world, you are experiencing the presence of everything, all other things. Even what to talk about other things, where do you experience your own body? In you, in the self. Is it not? That is amazing thing. Even though we think about this body, look after this body and try to maintain this body, where is the experience of this body? You are saying, oh, I have a body. That who is that I? Is that awareness? If the awareness is not there, this existence of the body won't be there. Existence of the mind won't be there. And similarly, existence of the world won't be there. See? So, so that is why it mentions again that pashyan, it is experienced in Almani, in the Atma. It is only due to the presence Mayaya Bahirivodbodham Yatha Nidrayam. That Atma, it is only due to the presence of the Atma You experience the body, you experience the mind, you experience intelligence, you experience the ego, and you experience all your senses and sense enjoyment. If the Atma is not there, none of these things are existing. From there we conclude that all experience is due to His presence, bodham, awareness, insight. So everything is experienced in the Atma. So you can see that, think about this, that suppose you don't have this awareness inside, if you don't have that, who will see this world? You can't even see the world. What to talk about experiencing the world? You can't see the world, you can't hear anything, you can't smell anything, you can't touch anything, you can't taste anything, and no world exists then. World means all these kind of things, touching, smelling, tasting, all that. Arabhyade jiva jagat paramatma tattvabhidhanena matam samastam idam trayam yavad aham sanishta. That means jiva, jagat and paramatma, three things. Jiva, the jagat and paramatma, three things. In these three forms our experience is broken up. This most all other religions finishes here. Jiveshwara jagat, it says. Jiveshwara jagat. So this jiva has these three planes of experience. Jiva has three planes of experience. First thing, his own experience of awareness of his own existence. And he's experiencing that. It is in his that experience the mind comes up. The mind comes up. And then when the mind comes up, through the senses, he is experiencing all the world, rest of the world, isn't it? So, suppose, if I don't have that center, where I experience about my own existence, which I am aware of, all of us, isn't it? We are all aware of our own existence all the time. If that center is not there, all this experience won't be there. You won't have any experience of anything. And that is the difference between a dead matter and the living body. For example, the mic does not know that it exists. Whereas I know and you also know that we all exist, isn't it? So, or the watch does not know that it exists, isn't it? It does not know that we all exist, but we know the watch exists. And several other things exist. So, how do we come to know the existence of so many things? And that is us. That's our power. Krishna has given us that. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, we have that inside us, awareness inside us. We are aware of ourselves and we are aware of so many other things. And that is called a Chit Shakti. So, dead matter does not have this experience. Only living force has this experience. And that is the very nature of consciousness. Consciousness by very nature is like that. That means always conscious of its existence, awareness. I exist, that's it. So, and this same nature, awareness, what is in us, is the nature of Brahman also. Brahman also has the same nature. Brahman also is conscious of its awareness, existence. Brahman's existence. So then this bodham or awareness inside us, we are always conscious of our own existence and without anybody telling us we know about it. Nobody has to tell me that I exist because I am experiencing myself without anybody's help, isn't it? So, and that did not come from my mind. It did not come from my senses. Or it not by seeing something through the senses. If that is the example, it's like this that we talked before also, that suppose in a dark room, if you are sitting there, you don't have a doubt about yourself. You are still conscious that you are existing. But you may not be conscious of others' existence because others is all through perception. Whereas existence of your own is not through perception. It is inborn, inbuilt inside us. All the time you are conscious of your own existence. Isn't it? Even whether you have got all the clothes or not, you may have doubt about that, but you have no doubt about your own existence, that you are still existing. You are still existing. Even you may not be fully dressed, but still you are conscious of your existence. Clothes, you may not be aware whether you have put all the clothes on or not. So, and that is not to be spoken. Because that one awareness is the one what we have got as a tangible proof of the existence of the soul in the body. Soul's presence inside. So what they say is, Sobhodhena Anyabhodecha. In the Vidyarani Swamiji, I think, also says, also in the Alma Bodham book, it says there, that Yatha Swalpa Prakashani, it says, that Sobhodhena Anyabhodecha Yatha Swalpa Prakashani. In the form of awareness, he is always keeping us conscious that we exist in the form of awareness. Who? Atma. Atma does that. Yadas Atma Prakashani. So Bodharupadayam Atmana Na Dibatya Anyadil Shecha Yadas Atma Prakashani. And Atma Bodham says here that I exist, to know that nobody else has to tell me that. So Atma Prakashani, it's on its own, you are conscious of that, isn't it? And that existence, awareness of the existence, awareness of your own existence, that is that word here, Atmani. See that word? Pashyan Atmani. Atmani. Atmani means that your own experience of your own existence all the time. And that's unbroken. It is there in the Jagrat, it is in the Swapnam, it is in the Sushupti. Because you know how we say that? Jagrat we know that it is existing. I am conscious of my own existence. In Swapnam, that awareness is there. That is why you are able to see the dream. And what all that is happening in the dream, and able to keep to some extent in your memory when you come back to awakened state, what you have dreamt. If he is not there, that awareness is not there, you will not be able to report that when you wake up in the morning. What happened in the dream? Say for example, you went to bed at 9 or 10 and you dreamt for about say 2 or 3 hours up to 12 or 1 and then you had a deep sleep. And then you woke up in the morning, you may still remember at that time what you dreamt at night. That is to indication to us that your awareness inside is able to hold on to that and able to report to you in the morning, this is what you have dreamt in the night. And then, when you go into deep sleep, how do you know that the awareness was there? Because when you wake up in the morning, you say, I had a good sleep. And you enjoyed that good sleep, deep sleep for a few hours, isn't it? If awareness was not there, how would you know? That is not possible to know. So that is to show to us, this awareness that is inside us is in the waking state, in the dream state, in the deep sleep, in all the time. And it is in that awareness this whole drama is going on. The whole drama is going on. So, and it is this awareness that what is experiencing here, it is in there, it is in that awareness we are experiencing the world. It's a very simple logic. For example, you can think about this, that only if I am there, the world is there. If I am not there, the world is not there, isn't it? For whom? Who has got the world? I have got the world. We worry about the world. People are arranging for, they want to look after this world, isn't it? They're making plans for the climate control. And what they don't understand is, that if you are not there, what does it matter to you, the climate? What climate? So where is the world? World is inside us. This education is more necessary than anything else. But instead we are busy with repairing the world, fixing the world, and we think that we have to leave it properly before we go, everything in the right order. But the world itself doesn't exist. World exists inside us. If you have understood that principle, then you won't go doing so many things what we are doing now at the moment. So that is what astitvam. Astitvam means awareness of existence. So if we want to get this world in the right way, if you want the solution is inside us, not there. Solution is inside us. That is why Prabhupada was also very critical of all these organizations, United Nations, UNESCO, this, that, everything. He says all in ignorance they are doing things. They are thinking that by raising a lot of funds and foundations and all that, and doing a lot of charity work, things will improve in this world. It won't. Correction is required inside us. These very people who are doing all the creating the problems, they have to be changed first, before changing the world. And if you change themselves, then the world will be okay. There will be no problems there. It's only because of inside ragadvesham vasanas, inside all of us, everybody, in that reason. Therefore, this problem happens in the world outside. Correction is required inside. Rishis believed in that very strongly. They believed in that very strongly. That's why they didn't start United Nations and UNESCO and all that. They didn't do any such mistake. This is all so external because no concept of the soul and no concept of the internal side of our existence, which means the karana shariram, our vasanas, how it's creating our relationship with the world. The world all exists because of this inside. So, we remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about that sthita prajñatvam. Out of the four Mahavakyam means the four major statements in the Upanishads. The first one is Prajñānam Brahmam. That means the symptom of Brahmam is awareness. Prajñānam Brahmam. Prajñānam means Brahmam, the symptom of Brahmam is Prajñānam, or in other words, what is called awareness. Prajñānam means Bodham. Bodham or awareness is the symptom of the presence of Brahmam inside us. And where do you have to inquire about that? That is what is Aham Brahmasmi. So, first realization, there is a series, sequence in which it goes. First thing is Prajñānam Brahmam. Prajñānam or consciousness is Brahmam. Awareness is Brahmam. That is the first statement in the Upanishads. When you study Upanishads, there is a sequence in which it goes. So the first study is to understand that consciousness is important. Consciousness is Brahmam. Prajñānam is Brahmam. And that Brahmam is awareness. And where do you find him? Aham Brahmasmi. In me. That's how the next stage is. So when you are experiencing that Brahmam in your own experience, you have to inquire. In the Aham Brahmasmi is the process to inquire that Prajñānam Brahmam. First you realize that you are Brahmam, which is Prajñānam, pure consciousness is Brahmam. And that pure consciousness, when you inquire, where do you inquire? Aham Brahmasmi. Which is present, Aham Brahmasmi is the one which is always making us aware. Aham. That awareness inside. And that is not an ordinary thing. All other things, like body, mind and all those things, you can reject that. That is not so important. Because mind, you will lose one day. Therefore, it's not important. Intelligence also, you will lose one day. It's not important. Body, you will lose one day. It's not important. Senses, you will lose one day. It's not important. But awareness, you can't, even if you want, you can't lose it. That's the problem. It's so part of you, so that is what you are. There's nothing else apart from that. That is your pure identity, that awareness inside. So, because you cannot reject, you can never say, oh, I have rejected my body, I have rejected my mind, I have thrown away my senses, everything. But I can't throw away myself, that awareness inside, isn't it? And that is our greatest wealth, this awareness what Krishna has given us. Krishna has given us everything. He has given us body, He has given us mind, He has given us intelligence, He has given us senses, He has given us everything, and He has given us this awareness also. Awareness also Krishna has given us. But out of all these things, This awareness is our greatest wealth, not the body. We are thinking the body is the greatest wealth, and we work to maintain them. So see how ignorant we are. Our ignorance. What Krishna has given, of all the things what Krishna has given to us, this awareness is the greatest wealth. Not the body, mind, intelligence. They will all go one day, one way or the other. But Krishna has kept it in such a way that you won't lose your awareness. Under no circumstances you will lose your awareness. Even when you leave the body, go to another body, awareness goes with it. Yes or not? So, so therefore, if you don't give attention to that awareness, you can keep on changing the body life after life. That is the warning there. You can go to worship thousands of forms of the deities. You can go to thousands of temples, thousands of holy places. You can go to the heavenly planet, you can come to the earthly planet, you can go to the hellish planets. But after going through all these places, you will come back with this awareness again. Awareness would not have left you still. It will still be with you. And if you are not given attention to this awareness, this cycle of birth and death will continue. That is the problem. That is why it is so important to give attention to the awareness, consciousness, in other words. So that is, Prabhupada put it as Krishna consciousness, in other words. It's not different than this awareness. Awareness is in the Jnana Margam, they will say awareness. And in the Bhakti process, they will say Krishna consciousness. That's all. When we are saying Krishna consciousness, that refers to the awareness of the existence of the truth inside us as Krishna. Krishna's consciousness present inside. That is the awareness. That is what is permanent. Not the deities we worship, not the temples we go to, not the charity we do. All other things are comes and goes. But this Krishna consciousness, awareness of that Brahman, Atma present inside us, which is Krishna's manifestation inside all of us, that will never leave us. That is our permanent asset, what Krishna has given to us. Which is amazing, isn't it? Compared to all other things in this world. Because this is the only thing what exists. All other things don't exist. They come and go, they come and go. So that means it has no existence. So, so and that awareness is the most important thing. That is why I am saying here, Pashyanna Atmani. Everything is experienced in the Atma. In the Vashyan Atmani Pashyan. So, then because if you have that awareness, everything else you are experiencing there. How you are experiencing? And that is the amazing thing. How do you experience that? you have turned your attention inwards. Antarmukhatvam. It has started inwards. And you are focusing on that awareness. And you are trying your hard in meditation to focused on that awareness inside. But, and you can say that you are not experiencing the mind, the body, the world, nothing exists. And as soon as from that position, if a little movement happens inside the mind, everything is experienced. Everything is experienced. You know, we have this subject called psychology. And there is a lot of different kinds of illnesses for the mind. They have given different names also, all these illnesses. Schizophrenia, then there is a lot of names like that. Like this famous psychiatrist, Freud and Jung and all that. They have given different names. And sometimes it's a little bit shocking that even devotees, after hearing all this from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, they get carried away by the problems of the mind. When they go to the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist tells them that you got such and such a this bipolar disorder or this schizophrenia, and so many manias they have created names like that. And quite often those treatments are all not a cure to the problem. There's not a cure to the problem. They try to treat them with their medicines, whatever they have, And often what happens, the psychiatrist himself ends up in the psychiatry ward at the end, after treating the patients. Because after a while, when you have got so many patients with all mental problems, you yourself start thinking in a different way. In a different way. So, this problem is there with the mind. With the body, you are more or less certain what the problem is. You can do something with the body. But when mind gives trouble, one person's mind is different from another person's mind. So even though they have given names to it, and they have given medicines to one person, that medicine may not work for the other person. See, they have put the same name to the disease, because from the symptoms they are saying, like when they look at body is a dead matter, mind is the energy of the soul. That is the problem. Mind is an energy of the soul. And often when you talk to some people, you see this, that they haven't taken this seriously, that body and the mind are in a two different levels. So, you can see here, where did this comes up, that the spiritual master has spoken to the disciple about the truth. And the disciple has realized the truth. And then he is saying to the spiritual master that before I knew the existence of this world, now I don't. I don't know anything about it. Who has taken it away? He is asking this. This is the impact. If I properly executed, then this change will happen. The disciple is saying, no, it's okay. So the disciple is saying here, that I had already experienced this, he said. This is how the disciple says, Kwa gadam kena va nidam kutra leenam idam jagat adhuneva maya drashtam nasti kim mahadalbhudam. Disciple is saying to the spiritual master, before realization, he is saying, the world was there. Where is the world gone now? Because what happened? When he was given this tathopadesham, like you see in the Bhagavadam, when Parikshit Maharaj was given that realization by Shuka Brahmarshi, finally, when he was fully ready in the 12th canto, in the 5th chapter, which is called Brahmapadesham, that he made Parikshit to realize who he is. I am Brahman. That means awareness has woken up. And it is then he realizing that Tatshaka cannot do anything. What can Tatshaka do? Because Tatshaka is going to bite the body. I have nothing to do with the body. Body is, he has already left the body. Parikshit by now has left the body. When we say left the body, not physically left the body. What it means is that connection with the body is broken. So he is saying that if Tatshaka comes and bites this body, what I have got to do with it? By material nature's arrangement, the body is meant to go anyway. So there is no need to lament about it. No matter who it is, everybody's physical body is meant to go one day. Is it not? So why worry about it? Parikshit and Tatshaka cannot touch me with his biting. That is how Parikshit is coming out of that. So similarly, when the disciple realizes the truth from the spiritual master, what he is saying is not that only that he has come out of the body. He is also saying that the world what I was experiencing before is not existing anymore. That's gone. Because the world previously, what you are experiencing is all raga, dvesham, kartrutva, bhoktrutva. That's all gone now. Because vasanas have gone. Vasanas have gone, raga, dvesham has gone, the world has gone along with that. That's what he's saying here. Kwa gadam kena vanidam kutra leenam idam jagat kutra leenam idam jagat adhuneva maya drishtam nasti kim mahad albudam. It's amazing, he says. The disciple is saying it's amazing that the world does not exist anymore. Where is the universe gone? By whom it's removed? Who has taken it away? And it was just now seen by me, and it has ceased to exist. It's not existing anymore. Adhuneva maya drishtam nasti kim mahad albudam. He says it's an amazing thing. So that is the important thing, Mahadalbudam. So he's asking that sometime, little while ago, the world was there, but where is the world now? And he is in a shocking state. He's saying that we also have to see the same way. Suppose, for example, when you close the eyes, the world doesn't exist. And when you open the eyes, you are seeing the world. Similarly, when in the night time, while you are in the deep sleep state, everything goes, isn't it? You go to sleep, and you go into deep sleep, everything goes, world goes. Your personality, ahankaram, goes away, body goes away. And at that time, all these concepts we had in the world, that you are a rich man, you are a poor man, you are an engineer or you are a doctor or whatever, that identity you had in this vacant state, that's all gone. That's all gone. Then what's interesting is, when you wake up in the morning, they are all coming back. Is it not? Isn't it? When you went to bed and in the deep sleep state, all your connection with the world has gone. Completely. Including the body. You are in a state where you are somewhere. We don't know where you are, but in a happy state somewhere. But all connection with the body, mind, ego, senses, world, everything has gone. And how do you explain that? How do you explain that? In the morning when you wake up, they are all coming back. You thought about this? Why it comes back? And that is the answer there. One word, Acharya says there, Bodham yatha mayaya. Maya's power. And people are saying there is no Maya. What is their intelligence? Imagine that. Every one of us, we go to bed in the night, and when we lose everything, and we come back in the morning, everything is coming back to us. And we clearly know how much money was in the bank when you went to the bed. And in the morning when you look, you know how much money is in the bank. Where was it? And you have lost your body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses. Nothing was there in the night. Is it not amazing? Where was it stored then? You went to sleep. You completely lost your possessions. You have lost everything. You have gone into the deep sleep state. You are not even conscious of anything in this world, what is going on, where you are, nothing. But when you wake up in the morning, all this, one after the other, comes back. That is what he is saying here. Only with the Maya can do this. This is Maya's power. Pashyannatmani mayaya bahiribod budham yatha nidrayam. Pashyannatmani mayaya bahiribod budham yatha nidrayam. Then even if you have gone into deep sleep state, to keep it, Maya is storing everything for us at that time. And when you wake up in the morning, she puts it back into us again. And we become again, oh, everything is fine. Goes on very well, isn't it? So, so when you go back to sleep in the deep sleep state, you lose your identity, who you are, individuality or personality or whatever you call it. That is gone. Because you don't think anymore that you are such a person. That personality is gone in the deep sleep. Body is not there. And this different varnashramam, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, brahmachari, grahastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam, they are all gone. In the deep sleep, sannyasi and brahmachari, they are all same. Sannyasi, grahastha, they are all same. In the deep sleep, brahmana and shudra, they are all same. There is no difference in the deep sleep state. So all these goes away, but they all come back when you wake up in the morning. You become again a brahmana or a shudra or a brahmachari or a sannyasi, whatever it is. So the explanation for that is that word maya. Only maya has the capacity to do such a thing. No other way you can explain that. Maya. Maya means, what does maya mean? Maya means which cannot be explained. Inexplicable. That cannot be explained. There's another word in the Shastram is anirvachaniyam. What you cannot define precisely what it is. So, yukti shunya vastu prakasha samya maya. That is Upanishad definition. Yukti shunya vastu prakasha samya maya. A maya is capable of creating a situation which you cannot logicize. Yukti shunya it is. Yukti shunya vastu, and it can be prakasha samya maya. Prakasha samya maya. Yukti shunya vastu, that means through your logic and reasoning, you won't be able to explain that. But it is happening. Prakasha samya. And that's called maya. Now, who on earth, which scientist can tell you how it is happening in the night? When you go to sleep, everything goes in the deep sleep. And in the morning when you wake up, everything comes back. Where is the explanation to that in the science? Which science is able to say to you the answer for that question? They will say so many other things, but this cannot be explained. This is the power of maya. That is why, see Upanishads, how precise they are. Yukti shunya vastu prakasha samya maya. Yukti shunyam. There your logic won't work. Prakasha samya. And that illuminates everything in such a way. And imagine this maya is doing to everybody this. Every night. She is able to do this. How can you reject maya? How can you deny maya at that time? So that is why Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, what did he say? Devi hyesha gunamayi mama maya durateya. So powerful she is. Mama maya durateya. That means these three in the Devi hyesha gunamayi she is. Gunamayi means these three modes. Sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. And then this gunamayi maya, Krishna says, this gunamayi maya, how does it pops up? From where does it pop up? The way how it happens is, how does maya works? This is a little explanation to that. If our awareness, when it has left the swarupam of your own identity, who you are, the moment you lose that awareness of your own existence, maya has come in. Maya is inside. So your awareness or drishti, that they call it as drishti, if it goes away from swarupam, from your identity, maya is in. That moment, maya comes in. That moment, maya comes in. The moment your attention, that means in indirect ways you can say, when you have realized the self, maya goes. And when you are not in the realized state, maya is always there. Always. Maya is there. Till you have realized the self. Till you have realized the self. Maya, you cannot wipe it off because she is Maya. That's why it's called Maya. You can't wipe it away. For example, like it is like this, that darkness, you can't beat it up and tell the darkness to get out from there. Or automatically, when the light comes in, darkness goes. Isn't it? And similarly, if our attention is on the sat, asat will go. Asat has to go. If you don't give attention to the sat, then under no circumstances you can take away asat from inside. So that is why saying here, pashyannalpani mayaya bahirivo bhudam yatha nidraya. So that is that example. Bhutam yadha nidraya, like you see the dreams in the night in the sleep. For example, in the dreams in the sleep, initially a coverage comes. You can see when you go to bed in the night to sleep, you lie down, and then without your knowledge, the eyes close, and you go to sleep. Is it not? So something is operating in us, and that is not consciously you are doing. I'm not saying, oh, I'm going to sleep now and I'm closing my eyes and sleep comes. It doesn't happen like that. Most of the time it's that you are already tired, you feel tired, you want to lie down, and when you lie down, because you are so tired, automatically the eyes close. All these activities follows one after the other, isn't it? And then what happens? First that eyes goes, we don't have to go to sleep for that, to bed, while Bhagavatam class is capable of doing that. Easily you get good sleep here. Sound of automatic like that, goes. The sleep comes, isn't it? So, that is why Devi Bhagavatam, this statement, Ya Devi Sarva Bhudeshu Nidra Rupena Samsthita Namastase 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 Namo Nama. That Devi is Maya. Devi is Maya. That's her job. She has to do that. As soon as you are ready, she says, all right, so you want to sleep? I'll make all arrangements for you. And she is the one who is arranging everything. And so initially that curtain falls. That's what you say. The curtain falls. That means the curtain is put on from the world. The world has withdrawn from us. At that point, when you start sleeping first, when you begin to sleep, what happens? The connection of the world is gone. It's broken, isn't it? They put the curtain off. And then you went to sleep. After a while, another world begins there. The dream state that begins there. And so many amazing things you have seen in the dream. And you have not expected anything, all those things to happen. When you went to bed, you are not aware of anything. What is going to happen in the dream state? You are lying alone in the room on your own, and you are seeing so many things in your dream. Can you explain all that things? Why they had come in that way? What scientific explanation are you going to give for that? So, sometimes what is interesting is, you are sleeping in comfortably in a bed, in a nice house, air conditioned and everything is perfect there. All temperature is right and complete comforts. But you go into that dream state and you are starving there in the dream. You are starving in the dream. And not only that, some wild animals are chasing you in that dream. So, these are all the dreams. But who asked you to see all these dreams? Nobody. It has come. With the uninvited they had come, isn't it? And then you are suddenly woken up because you got so frightened in that dream. What happened? And suppose somebody was going... Sometimes, I don't know whether you... I get all the kind of dreams. So also I can say, sometimes some very poisonous snakes has come and it is passing from which you have built up some fear in your mind before. So unless I had some connection with some snakes like that before, when I was a snake, I would not have known about it, isn't it? So those vasanas inside us will tell you that you had some connection at some... Because all these, what's coming in the dream, is nothing but the vasanas that is stored up in the karna shariram. They are coming out. So, and then I'm waking up from the fear I have built up in the dream, and I'm crying in the vacant state when I wake up, thinking about the dreams. So, who asked you to see all those dreams? Nobody asked me to do it, but it has come. That's what he's saying. Yatha nidraya pashyannalpani mayaya bahirivod budham yatha nidraya. Budham yatha nidraya. What is the way to escape from that sleep, from the dream? For example, so you are in a forest. A loads of leopards or tigers are chasing you. You are in that state. And you are crying. You are not woken up yet. You are in the dream state. You are crying, asking for help. Catch that tiger or catch that leopard. He's catching me. And you are crying, and somebody else in the room who was awake, he is seeing that you are crying in your dream. Seeing some bad dreams, you are crying, isn't it? So, when you are asking for help, what does he has to do? He has to wake you up. That's the only solution, isn't it? Instead, if he goes on for chasing that tiger or leopard, what will he do? He won't be able to find the leopard or tiger. So once you wake up that person from that dream, there is no tiger, there is no forest, and there is no tiger chasing you either. Nothing has happened. Similarly, it is mentioned here also that in our present situation, if Dakshinamurti's mercy comes, that realization from inside, the truth comes. He says here, ya sakshal kurude prabodha samaye swalpanam evam dvayam tasmai shri gurumurtaye namayidam shri dakshinamurtaye. He says, ya sakshal kurude prabodha samaye swalpanam eva dvayam. What does this mean? Sakshal kurude prabodha samaye. Prabodha means this awareness inside us. Awareness inside us. Or awakening. Awakening. Like from the dream state, when the person in the room came and woke you up from that dream, you got all the problems gone with that. Similarly, in our existence, when Dakshinamurti, who is present inside, as Andaryami, who is present there, names and all, don't worry, we call it as Krishna, Dakshinamurti and all, Vastu is the same. That Vastu inside, when he wakes up, wake us up from our present dream state, which is the vacant state, then Swalpanam ya sakshal kurude prabodha samaye swalpanam eva dvayam. That is kurude sakshat kurude. Sakshat kurude means sakshatkaram, realization, self-realization. So the Shamurti inside has to wake us up from inside and make us aware who we are. Once that waking up happens, then you have come out of the problems of the world, of the mind, of the body, everything gone along with that. So, and that awareness is that called non-dual awareness. That means my existence, who I am, that existence awareness. And then he realizes that that alone exists. Only that awareness exists. Everything else doesn't exist. And once you recognize it, then there is no possibility for any kind of distress after that. Because once you have woken up to that identity, who you are, then body is not going to give you any more trouble. Body is not a problem anymore. Because you have not lost a connection. Because you are not that body anymore. Isn't it? Similarly, mind won't give you any trouble anymore. Because the connection with the mind is broken. So, and you will also realize there is nothing to feel distressed here about anything. And that is what is there called prabodha. Ya sakshalkara prabodha samaye, that swalpmanam eva dvayam. Swalpmanam eva dvayam. That, and that prabodham or awareness, that is why tasmai shri gurumurte namayidam shri dakshinamurte. Prayers to dakshinamurti to make us up from this sleeping state. So, in satsangam and spiritual life also, the goal is always this prabodham. Prabodham means this waking up. Waking up from this sleep. What we are waking up in the sleep. And if you are directed towards that waking up, and if you are very clear in your mind of that goal of that waking up, the goal is the waking up from this sleep, prabodha samaye, and if it is only directed towards that, that is when it is called vyavasayalmiya buddhi. Remember that? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what does this vyavasayalmiya buddhi mean? Vyavasayalmiya buddhi means the whole purpose in spiritual life, satsangam, everything, adhyatma life, everything, is only directed towards to wake up from this existence of, from the grip of maya. If you are able to wake up from that, Krishna says, and if you are focused on that, waking up from this maya, that is called vyavasayalmiya buddhi. Krishna says, vyavasayalmiya buddhi egeha kurunandana. Isn't it? So, and with that goal in mind, whatever karma one does in this world, that karma will become karma yoga. Karma will become karma yoga. But always the goal has to be self-realization. Prabodha samaye. That's what that is. Ya sakshal kurude prabodha samaye swalpanam eva dvayam. Swalpanam eva dvayam. And so therefore, it is so important that the goal has to be correct in spiritual life. Goal has to be correct in spiritual life, and that goal has to be very, very clear all the time. All the time. Because only if this prabodham or this awareness is there in life, the life has some meaning. Otherwise, life has no meaning. For example, if you are working hard to earn a lot of money and thinking that you are going to be happy, that's all meaningless at the end. Because one day, everything is going to go, you are going to go. So, it's not a very intelligent proposal. So, otherwise, what will happen is, if this goal is not there, the life itself will become a burden. The life itself will become a burden one day. You can see, mind will become a burden. And that is why in the Yoga Vasishtam, this verse, Bharo avivekina shastram, bharo jnanam cha raginaha, ashandasya manobharaha, analma bharo vapuhu. Do you know this verse, famous verse in the Yoga Vasishtam? What it says is, Bharo avivekina shastram. Shastram becomes a burden. When? Bharo jnanam cha raginaha. Spiritual knowledge is a burden for one who has a lot of attachment in the world. Spiritual knowledge is a burden for him because he is constantly fighting with his attachment and the spiritual knowledge tells the opposite. Is it not a burden? Suppose we are very attached to the world and everything in this world, and then there is a spiritual knowledge also which tells us you have to come out of all these things. So that becomes a burden then. Is it not? Bharam avivegina shastram. Similarly, one who does not have proper discrimination, and when he reads a shastram, it becomes a burden. Shastram becomes a burden. Because shastram says one thing, and we are living in a different world. So, bharo avivegina shastram, bharo jnanam cha raginaha. Then, ashandasya manobharaha. One who is not peaceful inside, for him mind is a burden. Every one of us, isn't it? If there is no shanti inside, your mind is a burden all the time. Ashandasya mano bharaha analpaha bharo vapuhu. That, and one who has no knowledge of the soul, body is a burden. You can see that. See how Valmiki wrote this in the Yoga Vasishtam, how these things are spoken very precisely. What is burden means? Analpaha bharo vapuhu. Suppose we have no realization that we are not this body. Suppose we don't have even a trace of that in us. We think we are this body all the time. Then the body becomes a burden. Now we are able to live with this body because no, we know we are not this body. Is it not? Otherwise, how bad it will be. Imagine the situation. 24 hours you will be busy with it, looking after this. Already so many hours going with that. So, you can see, bharo avivegina shastram, bharo jnanam cha raginaha, ashandasya manobharaha, analpaha bharo vapuhu. So, similarly, if there is no self-realization, the body will become a burden. Body will become a burden. That is the message there. Body will become a burden. So, that is an important thing. That Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam Nijandar Gadam and Pashyan Almani Mayaya Bahirot Budham Yadha Nidraya Yasakshal Kurude Prabhoda Samaye Swalpana Meva Dwayam Tasmai Shri Guramurtaye Namayidam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam Nijandar Gadam. So this whole one verse, this first verse, the other verse was the introduction. Maunavyakya Prakatita Para Brahma Tattvam Yuvanam Vasishtande Vashat Rishigane Avrudam Brahma Nishtai Acharyendram Karakaritajanam Budram Anandarupam Swalpa Ramam Mudita Vadanam Dishanamurtimide. That's the introduction to the Dishanamurti Sutram. And this is the first verse, and this whole first verse is about the world, what we have discussed so far. It's all about the world. And this word Vishwam, you can see that we have talked yesterday also. that Vishwami, Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam. Dushyam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam. Vishwa means the world. Vishwa means the world. That means this manifested world, in other words. In the Vishnu Sahasranamam, the word Vishwam comes first. Vishwam Vishnu. Isn't it? So, Vish means to enter. Vish means to enter. To enter, praveshanam. You will see in Sanskrit, the other word is praveshanam. So, praveshanam comes from this word Vish. Vish. Tadrishtva tadeva pravishnute. Tadrishtva tadeva pravishnude. What it means is that tadrishtva tadeva pravishnude. This Vishwam is nothing but Krishna has entered into it. Krishna has entered into it. That is how it has become Vishwam. And that is why the first word in the Sahasranamam, Vishwam Vishnu. If Krishna has not entered into this, this doesn't exist. He entered into it. So how, that means, prapancham or creation, what we see is the material elements, isn't it, in its different combinations. That's what we are seeing through the eyes. Do not look at it through the eyes and make decisions on that. Because sensual way of looking at things and making decisions is no value in the Shastram. Shastram won't accept that. What Shastram is saying to us is that the world you are experiencing in this form, this is only one way. Which one? Seeing things through senses. That's only one way. There's many other ways of seeing this. Seeing through eyes or through the senses and experiencing the world is one way. But there is another side to it, and that is what here, what it says, Vishwam Vishnu. When it says Vishwam Vishnu, Vishnu entered and became the world. Entered and became the world. Because how is that? For example, say I am dreaming. I am dreaming. And in my dream, I'm seeing everybody here, say 20 or 15, 20 people who are here. I'm seeing them all in my dream. And I'm also seeing, I'm speaking. I'm separately, I'm seeing this. I'm speaking and I'm seeing everybody in the room. So, I'm sitting in one place and I'm speaking. And this hall is there, the mic is there, everything is there. In dream, I'm seeing all these things, but who is here? Who is there in the dream? In reality, who is there? There is only one person and one thing. That's me. Isn't it? Can you understand what I'm saying? See, I am in the dream state. In the dream, I'm sitting here. I'm sitting, seeing this room, I'm seeing everybody here, the mic, the hall, the table, everything there. And I'm sitting and I'm seeing all these things. But actually who is there? It's only me. Because it's in the dream, isn't it? Only me is there. So, how is that I was able to create all these people in my dream? And I also see the reaction from different people. Somebody is smiling, somebody is enjoying, and somebody is sitting quiet. Everybody is different. And all those things I am seeing in my dream. And nobody was there, but I was seeing it. So who did that? When you want the explanation for creation, for children it is okay if you tell them that Krishna told Brahma to create. Brahma went and created. The children will say, yeah, that's fine. Brahma has created it. That's all they want. But in the Vedantam, if you give answer like that, they won't accept that. They want to know how it is happening. So this is the explanation for that, about the creation. That the power of Atma, that is what's the most important thing. Power of Atma. I am alone in a room sleeping there. And in my dream, I am able to create this whole thing. In this whole thing. And I enter myself into all of them. And that is why they have got life there. It's also coming from me. isn't it? Because of the soul in me is present there, therefore I am experiencing all these things, and his soul is able to create that situation for me at that time. And so what has happened there was, I have created, so I am responsible for the creation of everybody in my dream. I created them, and I myself has entered into every one of them, and I am sitting there, and I am still separately sitting there and watching all these things after creating. And that's what exactly Krishna does with this world. That's exactly what Krishna is doing with this world. He has created all of us, and he has got into all of us, and he is watching separately from wherever he is. He is able to do that. This is why dream state is important. Dream state is the best explanation for creation. How creation happens. That's the best explanation. So the life of dream state is me who is sleeping there. And that is why we say Mahavishnu is sleeping. After creating, he is sleeping there. It is in his dream, all these things are happening. There is no reality to it. There is no reality there. Therefore, the dream is happening in me. Dream is happening in me. And in the dream state, everyone who is present in the dream is me. I will be present there as every one of you. There. I am there in that. If I was not there, you will not be there in my dream. So similarly, for Mahavishnu also, in his creation, millions and trillions of universes are created, and everywhere we say he enters into it. You seen that in the Bhagavatam? He enters into it, they say. That's what it means. This entering business, this is that is. That he creates it, he enters into it. So creation and entrance happens at the same time. For example, I go into the dream, and in the dream all I am continuously creating everybody who is in the class, and I am continuously entering at the same time entering to all of them. So similarly, in that place, except me while sleeping, except me, there is nobody else there, only me. But I have succeeded in creating the whole thing. So similarly, this world, manifested world, Mahavishnu has brought it up from himself. Brought it up from himself, and then he entered into each one of them. And that is why we say that in all of us, Krishna is present. Krishna is present in all of us. He brought this up and he got into all of us. And that is why it's called Vishwam. Vishwam. So, Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam. Darpana means mirror. And the mirror that is being seen in the, the town that is seen in the mirror. How the town is reflected in the mirror. Similarly, that this our world is nothing but a reflection of that. Mahavishnu's dream is what we are seeing here. Krishna's dream, what we are seeing here. So, that is why when we normally say the world, what comes to our mind, first thing, it comes to our mind is loads of houses, lot of people, all these things. So, at that point you can see here that it is like a reflection in the mirror. It's like a reflection in the mirror. Nija andargadam pashyan. That means, you'll see there, nija andargadam pashyan nalpani mayaya bhivito bhutam yatha nidraya. This world, which is like Mahavishnu is creating in his dream, this world, normally when we say, we'll say, Mahavishnu is in Yoga Nidra, isn't it? He's sleeping, all the time he's sleeping. And in the Puranam, when it is explained, it'll say that Mahavishnu got fed up of sleeping. He got tired of sleeping. So then what he did, he wanted to fight with somebody. Because when you get tired of sleeping, what you want to do something, isn't it? So he thought, let me fight with somebody. And then he decided, okay, I'll have to find somebody to fight, equal people who can fight with me. And that's how they said they found Jayan Vijaya. This is told, changed their, screwed up their head and made them to offend the Kumaras, all these things. We say in the Puranam story goes like that. But the correct way to understand that is that the Mahavishnu's creation, when we say Brahmam, from Brahmam everything comes, is it not? So, Nija Andargadam Pashyan, that word is important. Nija Andargadam Pashyan, Pashyan Alpani Mayaya Behirivod Budham Yadha Nidraya. Andargadam, Andargadam means what is inside us. That means what is inside our Karana Shariram, in the causal body. Behiriva, Mayaya Behirivod. The vasana that is inside us, the projection of that is the world outside. We talked about that so much before. And that projection of the vasana inside us is what we are seeing in the world outside. And where is it all experienced? Atmani, in the self, isn't it? So, in the same center, Bodham, that is where this vision of the world happens, and what you are seeing here happens. Everything is happening in that center inside, which is the Bodham or awareness, isn't it? So, such an experience of this world and this process of seeing this world in pure consciousness or Bodham, or another word for Bodham is Chaitanyam. That's how Lord Chaitanya got that name. Chaitanyam. The living force, he says. Isn't it? The living force. That's called Chaitanyam. So Chaitanyam, Bodham, don't worry about the names. Only we have to worry about the substance, what it refers to. So Chaitanyam or Bodham, where did that person come who is seeing this? And where is that objects what you are experiencing? Where did they all come from in your dream? Where did the dream come from? You cannot explain any of these things. Isn't it? Where is the explanation for all that? Which science is going to tell you all these things? That what you are experiencing inside, where is it experienced? And where did this dream come from? In your dream state, where did that all that dream come from? For example, if it happens, say in my dream, if this room comes in with all the people here, without the presence of everyone, I can experience it because they are there in the dream. I have created everybody and I have entered into everybody, and I am experiencing it. Everybody, as I said. I can experience the reaction from different people. Somebody is smiling, somebody is seriously listening, somebody is thinking something. Everyone's face will give a different expression, isn't it? How is that I am able to do all these things? To create everyone exactly in the same way, like in the room. Is that not amazing? That this power is invested inside us. And this is only one example. How many different kinds of dreams you go through, and we don't give any attention to that. These three states, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, is there in everybody. In everybody, isn't it? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti is there. But the problem is, the power of this waking state is so overpowering. That is the problem. We start thinking, somehow or the other, you can imagine how wrong we are in this understanding, to think that waking state is real, everything else is not real. This is very deeply rooted in every one of us, is it not? Nobody can deny that. We all think that waking state is the only real state. All other states are unreal. Why? Because the power of waking state is so overpowering on us that Jagrat Swapnam, because this Jagrat state is holding us with a strong grip on us. And therefore what happens? We don't give attention to dream state and deep sleep because of this. We don't care about dream and deep sleep. We think, oh, that comes and goes. Jagrat is whole business. We give only importance to the Jagrat state. And this is the mistake. Shastram says, this is your mistake. There's a lot to it. It's not so simple as I'm saying to you now. Because what happened was, the rishis, they found this out from the very beginning. That Jagrat state is the whole problem, not dream state and deep sleep. As far as they are concerned, they are saying to us, your vacant state is your whole problem. Because you have started thinking, this vacant state is the only real thing. Because of its strong power or grip on you, in your whole life, this vacant state is such a big, powerful grip on us, isn't it? Ramana Maharshi says the scorpionic grip of the waking state is called. Like the scorpion, how it bites you and you cannot come out of it, isn't it? Because it puts its all the thoughts so strongly inside, it goes deep into the body, and to come out from that is very difficult. That's why it's called scorpionic grip. Similarly, this waking state has become like a scorpion. It's holding us so tight and it's so overpowering that you are not able to give any attention to the dream state or the deep sleep. Whereas a lot of the secrets of life is in the dream state and the deep sleep. The whole secret of creation is in the dream state. The whole secret of liberation is in the deep sleep. So you understand? Whole secret of creation is in the dream state. Whole secret of liberation is in the deep sleep. Because only in the deep sleep state, many verses in the Bhagavad Gita, what you read is absolutely true there, in the deep sleep. Where all identities you are losing, you are not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grastha, Manaprastham, Sannyasam, engineer, doctor, this, that. Every identity, man, woman, everything goes away. And you realize who you are at that time. So, why do we ignore deep sleep then? What? Because of this vacant state. This vacant state has caused all the problem, and therefore the rishis are saying to us, let us create a balance first between the three states. Now it is not balanced. Why? All our attention is in the vacant state. So it's not balanced. He says life has to be balanced between these three states. Because you are always in the three states, and out of those three, the creation and liberation is in the dream state and the deep sleep state, the secret of that. And that you are completely ignoring and only busy with this vacant state. Why? How can we say that you have understood properly? So what they are saying that because so somehow or the other, to get that balance, what they have done was, in from the vacant state, little by little, they want to create this balance with the other two states. With the other two states. Because in Jagrat, the problem is, everything is concrete here. Isn't it? When I say concrete, means, we say, where is the concrete proof for that? We say, in the vacant state. Some illusion in us, thinking that, if there is something concrete, what I mean by concrete is that, you want a proof for everything, like you go to the court, and if you have documents to prove that, what you are looking for, and the court is accepting that, is it not? So, similarly, everything you have to provide a proof in this world. And we consider, if there is a proof in the vacant state, it is concrete proof. Is it not? So, like that. So, you can understand the problem there, that in order to, only in the vacant state, your logic will work. Normally we say, oh, it doesn't look logical to me. Logical when? Only in your vacant state. In your dream state, can you take your logic there? In your deep sleep, can you take your logic there? No. Only in the vacant state, your so-called logic and everything works there. Reasoning. Sometimes we say, he's not very reasonable, we say. He's not reasonable in the waking state. But in the dream state, he has no choice. Whether he's reasonable or not, he will be whatever he is. So when you go into dream state and deep sleep, logic, reasoning, all these things gone. That is how much value you have got for all these things, your logic and reasoning, isn't it? So in order to break all this understanding, what the rishis have done, and they have gone and filled the Puranas with all kinds of stories. That's what they have done. What they have done was, they have done it deliberately, because you will only believe what is in the waking state. So what they did was to make you understand that your so-called vacant state is nonsense. You are completely running after that. So to make you aware and to break your infinite faith in that waking state, what the rishis, they are very intelligent people. They know in depth what the problem is. Problem is this, that we are in ignorance. That is the problem. And it is not easy to smash this ignorance inside us. We will argue, we will fight, we will quarrel, we will logicize, we will ask for reasoning, and we think that it is all correct and we are holding on to it. But truth is something different than all these things. So what the rishis have done, they have filled the Puranam. All Puranams you take, you will see some amazing things there. 10 million wives and 4 billion servants, and if you ask anything, people say, why are you asking all that question? Don't ask any question, they'll say to you. Would they not? They'll say, why are you asking question? You don't believe what Krishna says? It is in the Krishna book. See what Prabhupada has written there. Why don't you accept that? He says, what can you answer then after that? Then he goes his way, he goes his way. Both people go two different ways. That's useless. That's not the way to answer that. You have to see in depth why it is written like that. There is a purpose behind it. Similarly, sometimes people ask this question. There are so many questions like this in the Bhagavatam, all Puranams also. That in one Puranam, Shukabrahma, she is married with a family, big family and children. In another Puranam, Shukabrahma, she is a Naishtika Brahmachari. So he says, in this book it says like this, in that book it says like that. So it's all a little bit, can't trust this book, he says. And the same person has written both the books. That's the most interesting thing. The same person has written both the books. And so is this old man sitting there in the Himalayas, his job is to confuse everybody. And mind goes like that. And when you read Puranam, you got to be careful. All these things has to be borne in mind. That. So similarly, they want us to make us aware that dream state is that as important as the vacant state. Dream state is as important as the vacant state. Because that's a very difficult thing for us to take at the moment on board, isn't it? Somebody tells you, oh, dream state is important as the vacant state. Oh, no, no. Dream state, I don't have to pay the bills. In the vacant state, I have to pay the bills, you will say. So, and beyond these two states, the most important state as far as rishis are concerned is the sushupti, which they consider as the most important of all the three. So, that is why, because sushupti is the, what body have you got at that time? Karana shariram. Karana shariram is in the deep sleep state. Sthula shariram is in the vacant state. Sushma shariram is in the dream state. So three bodies, three states. And we who are very advanced in knowledge takes sthula shariram and the vacant state as the only reality. This is how ignorant we are. Are we not? To take sthula shariram, gross body, and the vacant state as the only reality, is there any more ignorant than that? More ignorance than that? That is the important point. If you look into Mandukya Upanishad, Gaudapadacharya has written a commentary on that called Mandukya Karika. Writes pages after page about this ignorance in us. To get rid of that. His commentary is on that. He says here that as far as he is concerned, dream state and vacant state, absolutely no difference. Absolutely no difference. And that is why here also he says, Bhutam yatha nidraya. That is what that word means. Yatha nidraya. Yatha Nidraya means that as much as you are sleeping in that state, dream state, what you are experiencing, as much as like in the vacant state. And while sleeping, for example, you are seeing, say, 1,000 people in the sleep. You are seeing a huge mob or a crowd of 1,000 people. Where did they all come from? Where did they all come from? Where did they come from? Because, and where have they got the space to stand, these 1,000 people? Where did they get the space to stand? In the vacant state, we know that 1,000 people are coming, we have to make sure 1,000 car park facilities, 1,000 people seats to sit, and 1,000 tables to serve the prasadam, everything. But in the dream state, without tables, without car parking facilities, without any other thing, I can accommodate 1,000 people. Is it not? In my dream. So, how is that possible? How is that possible? Because the proper understand, that is what it is saying here. Pashyan altmani mayaya bahirivod budham yatha nidraya. All this is happening in me. Power of Atma, to show to us how powerful Atma is, the soul is. Soul can create and in soul everything can happen. Things which you cannot imagine is possible, is not possible, is possible in Atma. In Atma, because ultimately what does all mean? Experience at the end, isn't it? In vacant state also, if you have 1,000 people, it's an experience that 1,000 people are there. In the dream state, if 1,000 people are there, it's the same experience what you are getting from that. So, so keeping this one awareness, with this one awareness, I am able to accommodate 1,000 people in that, and in that 1,000 people, I stay separately and watching these 1,000. That's also I am capable of doing in there. So, this is the power of Maya. Power of Maya. That means when there is no space inside me when I am sleeping for 1,000 people. But I created the space there like a magician does, and Maya managed to bring all these things together there and present it before me. Where is the space for all the 1,000 there? So have you understood now that space is also a bogus thing? Space is no reality. That is why these two things, using time and space, Maya puts you through all this confusion. We fight in this world for space, isn't it? If you put your fencing a little bit the other side, he comes with the gun. America is always shooting each other for something or the other. One thing or the other like this. And all over the world, ISIS is fighting, Russia, Ukraine, everywhere fight is going on for this thing called space. And Maya is saying, I can create space for you as much as you want in your dream state and give it to you. 100 acres, 500 acres, 50,000 acres, doesn't matter. So, what does space means? What does space means? So, this is the ignorance of lack of spiritual knowledge. This is how it will happen. When you become more and more gross and more identification with the body, this kind of ignorance will build up inside, and the whole life people will fight each other for this and they will leave this world. And they also know the space is not going with them, whatever we have got. And this has happened not today. From Hiranyaksha's time this is going on. Imagine that Hiranyaksha for Bhumi. Bhumi Devi is laughing at us. Isn't it? Bhumi Gita, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you will see. Bhumi Devi says to us, even those great personalities who were ruling me, they were also in ignorance, she is saying. And she has listed there Ravana, Gadi, Raghu, great personality. They were also fighting for me, she is saying. For space, they were fighting here. So you can see that this creation or prapancham, or what we call as this manifestation, is without the help of Maya, it cannot survive. Maya supports this. That's why it's existing. And when we say to somebody that it is the effect of Maya that this has come into existence, it is difficult for most of the people to accept that. Is it not? They find that difficult to accept. that Maya created this world? It is Maya, is it not? Bhagavad Gita says that. Bhumi Rabanalo Vayu Kham Mano Buddhi Evaja Ahangara Idiyame Bhinna Prakriti Ashtada. Ashtada Prakriti it is called. Ashtada Prakriti is Maya. Ashtada Prakriti means these five elements and these three mind, intelligence and ego. Eight. All of them together is called Ashtada Prakriti. Krishna calls it as Ashtada Prakriti. Bhinna Prakriti Ashtada. Ashtada Prakriti. So Ashtada Prakriti is Maya. And that Maya is capable of doing so many things which we can't even imagine in our... Trying to find logic and reasoning in that won't work. It will not work. So, and when we start managing Maya, then the problem starts. When we start managing Maya, Maya is managing us very well. But when we start managing Maya, that is when all the problem... Everybody is perplexed with Maya. Obama is perplexed, Putin is perplexed, Modi is perplexed, everybody is perplexed with this Maya. Nobody knows what the solution is. What can you do? Because from their position, they are doing what they think is the right thing. But Maya acts in a different way, in their own way. So that is why when Maya does these things, and when we have difficulty to understand that, Ajahn Swami says here in the next verse that as an example he presents this, how that Maya works, to make it a little bit more easier for understanding that. That is the next verse. Bijasyantariyankuro jagatitam prangurvikalpam puna maya kalpita deshakala kalana vaichitra chitri kradam Maya eva vijrumbidatabhi maha yogi vaya svechaya tasmai shri gura murtaye nama idam shri dakshina murtaye Bijasyanguri vanguru jagadidham prangnurvigalpam puna Maya kalpita deshakala kalana vaichitra chitri kradam Maya eva vijrumbidatabhi maha yogi vaya svechaya Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namai Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye. Two things there, you will notice there. Desham and Kalam. Maya Kalpita Desha Kala Kalana. These are the two tools in the hands of Maya to control us. She controls us through these two things, Desham and Kalam. Maya Kalpita Desha Kala Kalana. Says here, Maya Kalpita Desha Kala Kalana Yoga Vaya Svechaya. We will not be able to carry on what we are doing if these two things were not there. Isn't it? Kalam and Desham. Time and space. Time and space. The intention is not to explain Maya. Because Acharya Swamiji knows he can't explain Maya. There's no point in trying to explain Maya. So he himself admits that the intention is not to explain Maya. To explain Maya. Because after saying that only we have to discuss this. First thing. If he tries to explain Maya, he knows he won't be able to explain Maya. Because Maya is such entity, isn't it? It has no... It's such a power that we don't know. The only five verses he wrote about Maya is called Maya Panchakam. These five verses. All the verses finishes with this. Akadita Gadana Padiyasi Maya. What you think is not possible, she'll make that happen. You can see in Krishnavadaram, when Krishna appeared, from day one, she was there in everything. First thing, even before Krishna's appearance, when Krishna called her and told her, do this, she came first thing. Shifting Balram from Devaki's pregnancy to Rohini. And Devaki should not know that. Rohini also should know that. Should not know that. Who can do that? Maya. She can do that. Shifting from Devaki, Balram was shifted to Rohini. Who could do that? Maya could do it. That is why when Krishna says to Yogamaya, that can you do that? Tathedi, Omidi. There is no problem, she says. I can do that. This is she.
When you understand her potency, you better not to think about it too much, because you can't explain it. She can do so many things which you can't even imagine in our mind. Then later on, when Kamsa caught hold of her feet and tried to throw her on the rock, she goes to the sky and stands there with eight hands. She stands there with eight hands, with eight weapons in the hands. Kamsa is looking at her in shock and saying that, what is this? He said, Devaki was begging to Kamsa, don't kill her. You have killed all my other children. At least this is the last one. And I don't think I'll have any more children. And that too, it's a girl. When I'm old, somebody who will care for me, at least allow her to. She was begging to Kamsa to let her live. Kamsa says no. Kamsa is Kamsa. He says no. And he pulls her from Devaki's hands with the feet. From the feet, baby is in the, like this in Devaki's hands. Krishna, Kamsa is standing there and pulled from the feet, from Devaki's hands. Devaki begged, she wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. And then he says that these people are cheating me. I can't trust anybody, he says. Demigods are lying, he says. And he throws her onto the rock outside the prison. And she doesn't go onto the rock, she goes into the sky and stands there. And from there she is speaking to Kamsa. She spoke to Kamsa from there, isn't it? Krishnavataram, you can read that. So Kamsa starts thinking, what's this drama going on? I can't understand this, he's saying. So similarly, you can see that Maya, if you try to explain Maya, you can never understand Maya. You can never understand Maya. That what you have to remember is that we have only one thing in us, what we have got, what Krishna has given us, which we talked yesterday, that is called Shraddha. That's the only power we have got. We, the awareness, has got only one power, which is called Shraddha. Which is called Shraddha. And that Shraddha, rishis are saying to us, that is your only tool in this world. Rishi's opinion is this. Upanishad says this. The only tool you have is this Shraddha. And Shraddha is like this, like a spark is coming from a huge fire. Similarly, this Shraddha is a spark that's coming from the soul, from Atma. And when that Shraddha, when due to our ignorance, when it gets adulterated, when that Shraddha gets adulterated, it is then that these three things have come. Which one? Mind, intelligence and senses. Otherwise they don't exist. Mind, intelligence and senses exist because our Shraddha Shakti got adulterated, and therefore body came, means senses came, mind came, intelligence came. Suppose you had Shraddha Shakti which is not polluted by any of the other things, because our Shraddha is polluted. Why? How did the body come first of all? Body came from the mind. Is it not? Body came from the mind. How did the mind come? Mind came because Shraddha, what Shraddha we had, it fallen into the matter. Due to association with matter, mind developed. And that association with matter is what we call it as the adulteration. Association with matter. As soon as that Shraddha Shakti get adulterated with matter, mind is created. Along with that, the intelligence means subtle body, vasanas and chittavritti, everything comes together. And finally the senses and the gross body. All this has been created. So practically you can see, when Shraddha Shakti, that power of Shraddha, when it gets adulterated or when it becomes impure, that is when the mind, intelligence, senses, everything develops, and which in ultimately they all give us trouble. Body gives us trouble, mind gives us trouble, intelligence gives us trouble, senses gives us trouble. None of them are friendly. Not one of them is friendly. Is it not? That is why Durvaro Dehamoham
Mirpatur said to Krishna that the Edipunar Adhuna Tarhini Shesha Rogal, that body is giving with diseases. Mind is having its own problems. Intelligence does not tell me what's the right thing to do. Senses are demanding things. So who is your friend here? Not one of them. Every single one of them. So, and they give us trouble. And why do we require sadhana? Because of this problem. These four things are giving us. Mind, body, senses and the intelligence. It is to counteract that we require sadhana. We require sadhana. So, so senses, when they have to be killed, they have to, and because they are connected with the mind, echevam manasi prajnaha. In due course of time, the mind has to come back to Shraddha again and become that power of Shraddha. Because Shraddha, it, and power of Shraddha and the power of the mind, as far as the effect is concerned, there is not much difference. In the sense that when mind is acting, it is acting in impurity because of the chitavritti inside, vasanas inside. It is misled and misguided. Whereas it is pure Shraddha Shakti, there will be only one thing that's happening inside, completely situated in the platform of the soul. There will be no connection with the body. It is due to the presence of the mind inside that we feel this contact with the body, and reality feels that this is the reality. That ajnanam or avidya inside is forcing us to accept that the body is real, mind is real. And that's the job the mind does. So, and when that mind in due course of time becomes a Shraddha again, then that is what is called Chitta Shuddhi. Remember that word, Chitta Shuddhi? Krishna talks about that in the many verses. Yesterday also we were mentioning that when Chitta Shuddhi happens, what happens? Krishna says that, isn't it? Ekadasha Skandam, if you look, that what will happen if a person has Chitta Shuddhi? Chitta Shuddhi, the importance of Chitta Shuddhi, if you look into the 12th chapter, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Bandho Muktamidi Vyakhya Gunadome Navastuda Gunasya Maya Mulatwal Name Moksho Nabandhanam Shogamohau Sukham Dukham Deha Patishcha Mayaya Supno Yadalpanakhyadir Samsradir Naduvastavi Vidya Avidye Mamatanu Vidyuddhava Sharirinam Mokshabandhagari Madhye Mayayame Vinirmite. Verse 3. Vidya, avidya, both. Vidya, avidya, mamadhanu, vidyuddhava sharirinam. Krishna is saying, both ignorance and knowledge comes from me. Ignorance and knowledge, both comes from me. Moksha bandhagari madhye mayayame vinirmite. But vidya will lead you into moksha. Avidya will lead into bandham. So this bandham moksham, you see the difference how we and Puranam presents it and how Krishna says here. Normally we say bandham moksham, normally in our devotee concept is that when we die, we get liberated after death, then we go into Vaikuntham or Golokam, or somewhere, wherever it is going to happen. So there it is all still very much based on the leaving this body and getting another body there. Krishna is saying here that it is not exactly like that. Vidya avidya mamatanu, vidya avidya mamatanu, vidhi uddhava sharirinam. If you are in the gross body living in this world, you still have both. Vidya and avidya is there in us. Vidya is there because Alpa is present there. Therefore the knowledge is there.
avidya is there because we identify with the body. Both things are simultaneously present in all of us, vidya and avidya, both. And Krishna is saying, if you have managed to come out of that avidya and come to vidya, right here now, moksha. You don't have to go wait till to get back there. Moksha bandagari adye mayayame vinirmide. And this both vidya and avidya is coming from maya. Mayayame vinirmide. So, and then in that whole chapter, Krishna is talking about various things. Very interesting chapter as well. So, that is when, finally, when after listening to that chapter, Uddhava was so excited after listening to that chapter. Did you see that in the verses there? If you look into the verse 26, after hearing the 25 verses from Krishna, Uddhava was in bliss. Seeing that realization, he's saying to Krishna, that Edanme Purusha Adhyaksha Loga Adhyaksha Jagal Prabho Pranadaya Anirektaya Prabhanaya Jakatyatham. Krishna, Uddhava doesn't know how to address Krishna now. He is so much affected by that knowledge in that verses. He is saying, he is calling Krishna Purushadhyaksha Logadhyaksha Jagal Prabho. That's how he is addressing there. Edanne Purushadhyaksha, verse 27. Logadhyaksha Jagal Prabho Pranadaya Anurakthaya Prabhanaya Jakathyadam. How do I get all this understanding? He is saying, let me surrender unto you, give it to me, he says. Because that is the beauty of knowledge. When Krishna is explaining, Krishna is very cool and calm about it. And saying is in such a beautiful verses when he is presenting to Uddhava. Uddhava is completely carried away by that. And he is saying to him, Tvam Brahma Paramam Vyomam Purusha Prakrite Para Avatirnosi Bhagavan Svechopata Pratak Vabhu. That is another famous verse. Tvam Brahma Paramam Vyomam Purusha Prakrite Para. That you are Brahmam itself. You are not different from Brahmam. Paramam Vyomam Purusha Prakrite Para. Beyond Purusha and Prakriti, that Para, you are that. Above everything. Then you have decided to come here. Why? Svechopata Pratak Vabhu. You can accept the body in whichever form you like, whenever you like it. Whatever you like, whatever body. You have accepted the body of tortoise, boar, and Narasimha Murthy, and Vamana Murthy, Ramachandra, and Balaram, and so many different forms. And now as Krishna you have come, that is what that word is. Svechopata Pratak Vabhu. Svechopata Pratak Vabhu means that one who can accept a body according to his taste or his decision, whatever he likes, in whichever body he wants to come, he can come. Svechopata Pratak Vabhu. Uddhava is very fond of saying that about Krishna. Svechopata Pratak Vabhu. Svecha. Svecha means what's out according to one's own icha, desire. Vata Pratak Vabhu. Multitude of forms you can accept whatever you want. Avadaram is like that. All incarnations are like that. Svechopata Pratak Vabhu. That is what he is saying like that there. So it's almost 9 o'clock. We'll have a short break now. Chedo darpanamarjanam mahadavagni nirvapanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandambudivardhanam pradipada purnamradaswadanam sarvatnasvanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala Edadrishi Dava Kripa Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeva Midrishami Hajani Nanuraga Trinaravi Shunichena Taroravi Sahishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidama Jagadi Shakamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwari Bhavada Bhakti Rahe Dugitvai Ayi nandadanyu jagingaram padiramam shame bhavambudo krubaya tava pada pangaja sthidaduli sadarsham vichindaya
Nayanam Garada Sudharaya Vatanam Jadgadarudhaya Gira Pulagar Nijinam Kadavabu Tavannama Grahane Bhavishyati Yugayidam Nimeshena Chakshushar Pravishayidam Shunyayidam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahe Name Ashlishyava Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Armahadam Karotuva Yadha Tadava Vidada Tulam Vado Malprana Natha Sunayevana Para. Bijasya anguriyanguro jagadidham prangruvigalpam punam maya kalpida deshakala kalana vaichitra chitri kritam maya viva vijram bijatyapimaha yogi vayasve haya tasmai shri gurumurtaye namaidam shri dakshinamurtaye. So the mind, what we were discussing before, that shakti or power of the mind, that will become shraddha. It turns to shraddha. The power that comes from the soul, from chit shakti, is one power. When it goes into the world and gets absorbed with various thoughts, that Shraddha Shakti becomes mind. So when the vasanas goes away from inside and vasana kshayam totally happens, it is not called mind anymore. It is called Shraddha. It's one force that comes from the self, from the soul. When it is busy with material nature, prakriti, and entangled in the material world, body, mind, senses, everything, it's called mind. And in the same force, when it is pure, without touched by any vasanas, or complete in a pure shay situation, it is called a shraddha. It's called shraddha. So, and when that mind turns into shraddha, if the force is the same, but it's addressed in two different ways. When it is fully purified, the mind, it is called Chitta Shuddhi. The word is called Chitta Shuddhi. So, as much as the mind is getting purified, it's a gradual thing when it happens, instead of becoming the mind, it becomes a Shraddha. It becomes Shraddha. And when Shraddha develops, you go into the spiritual direction. When mind develops, you go in the material direction. So, that is why you remember, what is the idea of converting the mind into Shraddha? What's the benefit? Krishna answers that in the Bhagavad Gita. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. One who has got Shraddha, he will get jnanam. He didn't say that one who has got mind, he will get jnanam. Mind we all have got, but Shraddha we don't have. So, Shraddha, that is why Krishna used that word particularly. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. Isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam. Famous words, yes. So, because if you have Shraddha Shakti, you will capture the soul. It can get the soul. It can get consciousness. It will touch the soul. It will touch the consciousness, in other words. Now, because of the mind, we have got Mana Shakti, but not Shraddha Shakti. If there is Shraddha Shakti, it will go inwards, and it will find that Antaryami who is shining inside every one of us. And in order to know that, the Shraddha Shakti has to wake up. Not mind. Mind cannot do that. That is why Shraddha is important. Shraddha is important. So, to direct that power, that force that's coming from the
from the soul, which is called mind or Shraddha, whichever way you call it, the power is there. Shraddha Shakti or Manashakti, mind, whatever way you call it. Mind is also nothing but that same power. In the purified form, it is Shraddha. In the impure form, it is mind. Because it's coming from the soul, that is the reason all this treatment for the mind does not really solve the problem. It's all beating around the bush, as to say. Gross body is concerned, you know to some extent what is wrong and what you can do about that. But when it comes to the mind, although they say that they have made a big science out of this psychology and other things, when it really, they really don't have a solution to many of the problems with the mind. All they will try to do is to keep you out of trouble, so that you don't go and do some crazy thing. But you don't get back your same mind, what you had before, when you have troubles with the mind. All they can do is to pump you up with a lot of drugs and keep you in a seductive state. And they say that that's the treatment we have got, the best we can offer you. And then they'll give you some few names also. This mania, that mania and all that. And they keep going. That's all. That's all you can do. Because it's coming from the soul directly. And that is the one we use for spiritual realization also, when you realize that. So, in order to direct that mind towards the soul, towards the soul, instead of doing that, it's always sucked at the moment by the external things. At the moment, the mind is sucked by the external things, isn't it? Mainly, the world and the body. These two things. The world and the body. It sucks the mind into it. All the energy what we have in the mind, these two places it gets distributed, isn't it? So, if you analyze yourself, you can see that in our life, 99% of our energy goes into this body, body's health, its maintenance, and the tension centered around that, and the fear due to this body, and our energy is continuously flowing in that way. 99% of our energy goes into the body, bodily maintenance, or to counteract the fear that the body is creating inside us, the treatment, and we build a house, or what? Because of this body, we need the houses, isn't it? And not only individual level, even the country level, we are all saying, there's not enough houses to live. You have to build more houses. You go to so many big cities, because of this fear, how it builds up inside. They have built so many flats, apartments, and all lying empty there. So many flats lying empty. Nobody there to live. Because either it has so happened that they couldn't pay the mortgage, they have been evicted, gone, told to go, but the buildings are standing there. All this you can see here in cities here, and cities in Bombay also, in Delhi also. So many flats they have built and there's nobody to live there. And then they are saying that it's all an investment. For what? They have invested the money into all this property. So that fear builds up inside. All because of what? This body. Only when you have the body, you need all these things, isn't it? Suppose you don't have a body. What for? You won't be running after all the properties in this world, would you? So one property is wherever you're stuck, you stay there and satisfied with it. So you can see that 99% of our energy goes for this body, the health of this body, the maintenance of the body, and the tension that it creates by this body, and continuously the energy is going this way or one after the other. So, in order to block this, in order to block it, the rishis, they understood this from the beginning. Because they are on the spiritual platform. They don't want to look into this kind of problem. They left it to us. You sort this out, your problems. But what they are saying to us is that they gave us various options to come out of this problem. First, so that they can block this, so that your energy don't go in that direction all the time. So, They're saying, hand over everything to Krishna. Leave it to Krishna. Let Krishna decide and live in that way in this world according to Krishna's desire. That is a devotee's approach. Accepting what Krishna is saying, that's where you are going to live, you live there. Satisfied with what you have got. Do not make big plans to go here, go there. Find some happiness here and there. Don't look for that. Hand that over to Krishna. Wherever Krishna has put us, in whatever situation, accept it and tolerate it and live in this world in that way. That way all your energy won't go wasted. All your energy won't go wasted. Then people are saying, oh, we don't have so much faith in Krishna to hand over everything like that to Krishna, to responsibility. Alright, if it is like that, take it that everything is Maya. Nothing is real here. At least accept that. If you can't accept the other thing, and don't give attention to that. Because that's somehow or the other, the idea is to pull your attention out from this. So one process is to take that, hand over everything to Krishna and keep quiet so that you don't get involved in everything, anything and everything, and get yourself sucked into it. That's one process. That is called the bhakti process. And that is what it is. Bhakti means this. Nothing but surrendering to Krishna. Handing over everything to Krishna. Whatever comes in life, don't bother. Just come and go. If that's what Krishna wants, let it be. So, taking that approach and not to worrying about it. That does not mean that, oh, that's what Krishna wants. I go in pub and drink as much as I like and think that that's the answer. That's not what it means. What it means is that in a insanity, live in this world, totally accepting it is Krishna's decision and I'm handing over to Krishna. He has decided that way. If this is what's meant to happen in life, so be it. Accepting in that way and surrender and living. That is bhakti. The other option is jnani's process. What is a jnani's process? Jnani's are saying to us, none of this is real. Why you run after that? That is their logic. Don't give your attention to that, into the world. That is jnana-marga. That's all it is. This is simple. So, somehow or the other, either through jnanam or through bhakti, to get your attention out of this world. That's the goal. That's the goal. The goal is to get your attention out of this world. Either through jnanam or through bhakti. So, that is why the first verse you'll see. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijandargadam. Pashya nalpani mayaya bahiribod budham yatha nidraya ya sakshat kuride prabhoda samaye swalpana mevadvayam tasmai shri gurumurtaye nama idam shri dakshinamurtaye. So the first verse that the first verse is that this world is nothing but a reflection to tell us that. And the world is within you. That realization. It is for that purpose it's been spoken. The goal is not to teach you all these things. That's not the goal. Is self-realization. That's the goal. But in order to go that direction, first of all, you have to break away from this strong grip of the world. Otherwise, it's not possible. Sometimes we can see we are working day and night and then we want spiritual life also. So, what happens then? Then what will happen is that on the one side the world is pulling in one direction. The other side, the forces of spiritual interest, whatever we have understood on that, that is also working inside us. So, therefore it says that this world is inside you. In other words, this world, what you are seeing is nothing but the vasanas inside you is manifested in a gross form. That is what the world is. And this unusual experience, anirvachaniyam, undefinable experience, or this magic, what you are seeing in this world, turn that attention inwards. Andargadam. Andargadam. And where did, and because to show to us that it is a magic, this world. It is a magic. And that magic has come from inside. The root of all this magic is inside us. In the form of vasanas. And then how from this vasana this world has come in this form? In the first verse, that's what we have discussed. The world is in the form of vasanas inside. In the second verse, from that vasana or the seed inside, how this world has come out like this. That is the second verse. Next verse. Bijasyaiva anguro jagaditam prangnaruvikalpam puna maya kalpita desha kala kalana vaijitra chitri kritam maya viva vijrambayathyabhimaha yogi vayasvi echaya tasmai shri gurumurtaye nama idam shri dakshinamurtaye. So, obeisances to Dakshinamurti. Why? Bija sandagam angura miva. Bija sandari vanguro jagadidam. He says there. Andagam, bijasya angura, andagam anguraha iva. Means, a small seed, you can see that the seed of the banyan tree, a very, very small seed it is. If you look into the, if you have seen this, the banyan tree's fruits, each fruit will have 50 or 60 seeds in that. And that each seed inside each fruit is capable of producing another banyan tree. Another banyan tree. So, normally, how they are grown, these banyan trees? The birds come and eat these fruits. And when they pass stool, these seeds will come out from that. And then they, new trees are born from that. That's how it gets transmitted everywhere. The birds do the transmission business. So suppose there's a huge banyan tree and there will be a lot of fruits will fall from that. Many will be on the tree. The birds will come and sit on the tree. They will eat these fruits. Seeds will go in. And then they'll fly somewhere else and they'll pass the stool there, and from that these seeds will fall on the ground and they will be born there. The trees will come out from that. And sometimes you will be shocked to see these banyan trees where all they grow. On top of the walls, sometimes you'll see the banyan tree coming out from that. So, from that seed sprouts. The from that little seed comes out, it sprouts, isn't it? And it is called anguram. Anguram means when it sprouts from there. Then, once that it sprouts, little by little, it becomes a small tree. And then it becomes a large tree and it becomes a huge banyan tree later. So, and when it becomes a huge banyan tree, it has got the main trunk and so many branches, sub-branches, and then big twigs and leaves, and it occupies a huge space. That tree occupies a space. So, in that tree, there are thousands of fruits when it's fully grown up, and there will be many, many seeds within each fruit. So, from that, if you take one seed and if you plant it yourself and pour some water or something, even without that, this banyan tree will come out. Banyan tree will come out. So, and the power has not decreased. Initial potency, what the original banyan tree had, is there in this little seed also. Because after 40, 50 years, what do you find? This seed what you have planted has grown so big and it has become as big as the original banyan tree. So that means that potency has not gone away from that. Power has not decreased. And if you say after hundreds of generations, another seed if you take and plant, again another huge banyan tree is coming out from that. And it will have the same potencies like the original tree which you have started with. That means even after many generations, the tree has caused that, the seed has not lost that potency to come as a plant and to grow and make a big tree and with hundreds of fruits in that. Fruits in that, isn't it? So, if in one particular small seed, in one small seed, if it has got the capacity to produce so many trees in so many generations. It all started with one seed, isn't it? From one seed, one tree came, and from one of the fruits from that tree, one seed, you take it out and plant, another tree comes. And from that tree, many fruits, and from one of those fruits, one seed you take, you plant, another tree comes. So how many generations has come from that one tree? From original tree, or and from the seed of that tree, how many generations of banyan trees had come? That is what he is saying. Bija syanguri vanguro jagaditam prang nirvigalpam puna. Nirvigalpam puna. Prang nirvigalpam puna. So, and when you are taking a little seed and looking at it, you are not even able to comprehend that the original seed, which was like this, had the capacity to produce so many trees generation after generation. Is it not? Is that not amazing thing? That how it had the capacity. So, sometimes in countryside, for example, that people who are living on the seashore, they used to see in the sea often, isn't it? But in the olden days, transport facilities were not good. So everybody may not have seen the sea, those who are living in the land. You will hardly get an opportunity to go and see the sea. So when children are there, children find that fascinating, that from they get an opportunity to go to the seaside and to see the ocean or sea. They get some kind of different experience, isn't it? So deep inside the land, where there is no access to the sea, you are far away from the sea, hundreds of thousands of miles. For them, sea is an imagination. They don't know what sea means. They are reading in the book, they are seeing in the film. Nowadays it's different. But in the olden days, when you don't have the facility to travel like today, and you didn't have the photography like today, or television wasn't there, you haven't seen the sea. You don't know what sea means, isn't it? Only thing people say, it's a huge, vast ocean. You may have probably seen some picture or something, that's all. But you don't have the experience of that. So what they did was sometimes, but there will be sometimes some lakes inside in the land, big lakes. So people will go there near the lake and look at it and imagine how the sea will be, how the sea will look like, isn't it? So, and especially in the rainy season, these lakes will get filled up. And it will become huge then. In the summer season it gets dry. In the rainy season, when it rains heavily, the lakes will be full of water and you will get an impression of that. So, it was quite normal in the olden days. People had more time, free time to do these things. And they used to walk around these lakes and spend their time in that way. So, Maharshi says this in Tirunamalai, one of his reminiscences, when he is writing about that, he's spoken about this in few times. He gave an example. In Tirunamalai there was no sea. It is right in the middle of the country and there was no option to go. So in those days what they used to do, he used to go into a large reservoir place like that. There was a large area where there was a reservoir of water. And he used to go with some of the devotees to walk around that. So there's nothing else to seriously to do. So they haven't had much of a external engagement in that way. So it is an opportunity at that time. Maharshi spoke to them in such a way that this knowledge of the self, in order to assimilate that properly, there are various examples he spoke at that time in his journey while walking around these large reservoirs. So there he saw that there was a palm tree standing there. And at the bottom of the palm tree, you will see some holes. Because when the palm tree, if you look, after a while when they grow up, at the bottom, the sand or the ground around that all become full of holes in there. And sometimes, one day, through one of the holes, a banyan tree came out. All these kind of funny things you will notice in the villages. Unusual places, the tree was come up. Unusual place, the tree has come up. So, the only thing was, the palm tree standing there, and at the root, from somewhere, the birds have dropped one of these seeds of the banyan tree. Now, the palm tree does not grow as fast as the banyan tree. Banyan tree grows much faster, and banyan tree is bigger. So what has happened is, banyan tree has come out from that and it has grown big. From the palm tree's bottom part, from that one seed, what the one bird has dropped, some seed there. So they do everything, all sorts of things, isn't it? Sometimes you can see in your own garden, if you look, sometimes some birds bring some tree, some seeds and drop it there and go away. They go. And then you start wondering, where did this come from? You have not planted, but it's come. So somebody must have brought it there. So the banyan tree has grown big, and this palm tree is in the shade of this banyan tree. The palm tree was there originally. The bird has come and dropped one seed there. Seed has sprouted and the banyan tree came out and the banyan tree has grown big. Now if you look at it, it will appear as though banyan tree is original and palm tree is the tenant. Banyan tree has become the landlord. Original landlord was the palm tree. Banyan tree was the tenant. Now after a while, banyan tree has become the landlord and the palm tree has become the tenant. It will appear like that when you look at it. So Maharshi says to the others who are with him, he says that it is like this, that in ignorant people, ajnani in other words, if this seed called vasana, if any vasana, the seed of that vasana comes at a certain stage, for example, chittavritti, samskaram, and then turns into vasana. First it is a thought wave inside. When that line gets thicker, it becomes samskaram. And samskaram becomes stronger, when it gets further thick, it becomes your vasana. If it has become vasana, it has got life. You can't do anything about it. If it is a chittavritti stage, if you are able to stop it, then it won't develop into vasana. So he says to him that in ignorant people, when the vasana gets in the form of a seed, it is like this, what? This banyan tree. It will grow big and it will control him. Eventually, he will become controlled by his vasana. Vasana is controlled compared with that banyan tree. So in ajnani, ignorant person, if any vasana comes in the form of a seed and gets in, then vasana will grow and grow and grow and become stronger, and then eventually he himself becomes controlled by that tree called vasana, banyan tree called vasana. Whereas his body, his mind, everything is like the palm tree. It's like the palm tree. And then what it does is that it will completely control this palm tree. Totally, it will be under its control. Similarly, the mind that pops up inside due to the vasana, it is controlling us at the moment, is it not? Our vasanas inside our mind has grown big, and it has become so big that vasana is controlling us now in our life all the time, is it not? That is why we vasanas are so strong. We are attached to the house, attached to family, attached to money, attached to comforts, sense enjoyment. So many things is that seed is inside us and that is grown big. And that is even controlling our life now here. And this is happens to people who are ajnani. Ajnani means ignorance. So, but if Krishna's mercy comes, or grace, or spiritual master's grace comes, and if that falls as a seed inside us, in the same way like the vasana bijam, vasana seed has come and fallen inside, and it grew big like this in the form of material existence. Similarly, if Krishna's grace or spiritual master's grace comes as a seed and falls inside, and if it grows big, then what will happen is that that just like the banyan tree has born and grown up and grown big, similarly, if that seed comes and falls in our subtle body, if it falls in our subtle body, what it does is it will come out in the form of realizations. Realization of the self. That is how it happens. And it will come and grow so strongly in self-realization that the vasanas are gone, and instead this realization of the self, that seed what Krishna has put inside us, that started growing. So what happens? The body is not important anymore. And therefore, material existence will come to an end. Material attachment will go, material desires will go, and material life itself will go. It will be all spiritual life then. It will be all spiritual life. That is how Maharshi taught many things to the people, to explain to them how vasanas in the form of seeds. So from this we have to understand what kind of vasana is going in. Is it not? If good vasanas goes in, it will develop in a good way. If bad vasanas goes in, it will develop in the bad way as well. That's what it is saying here. So only thing is to remember that within that seed, there is a huge tree ready to pop up later. Every vasana that is going inside into our subtle body, there is a huge tree ready to come out from that. And that is how that importance of the vasana is. And to remember that there is a huge tree packaged into each seed that has been put in. Each seed that has been put in. And that is what is mentioning there. Bijasyanguram Bijasyandari Vanguro Jagaditham Prang Nirvigalpam Punam. So Bijasyandari Anguro Jagaditham. From Bijam or the seed, it sprouts Anguram and then a huge tree comes. Similarly, this world what we are seeing, creation, how are we seeing this? We are seeing through our body, eyes, nose, ears, skin, and taste, touch, the five senses. That is what it is. Bijasandarivanguro jagaditam. So when we are experiencing the world, we are experiencing through the five senses, isn't it? That's our exit route. So, and that means in the form of shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. Sound, touch, form, taste and smell. These five things, that is how we are perceiving this world, isn't it? So, so all this thing what we see here is called prang. See that word, prang. Jagadidam prang. Prang. Prang means from ancient times, from olden times. That means before creation. Before creation. Nirvikalpam. Nirvikalpam means there was no vikalpam. Only when vikalpam happened, all things happened. Like chittam has got two things. Vikalpam. Nirvikalpam, savikalpam it says. Vikalpam means that in your thoughts, which distracts you from this and takes you to another state, that's called nirvikalpam, from your pure state. So, At that stage, nirvikalpam. There was no vikalpam, only Atma was there, only the soul was there. So that is why we said yesterday also, in the beginning of the creation, there was only nishchalata. There is no movement, always in the nirvikalpam state. So from that nirvikalpam state, what happened?
Nirvikalpam state, it says, puna maya kalpita desha kala kalana vaichitra chitrikritam. Chitrikritam.
From there, from that nirvikalpa state, that means there is no movement, brahmam, in that pure state, what happened was, that vaichitra maya kalpita desha kala kalana vaichitra chitrikritam means that in the form of time and space with the help of these two time and space, this world came into existence. Just like from the seed, a tree comes out. Similarly, Maya managed to bring this world outside from inside all of us. We all have vasanas inside. And that vasana is older than our body. They were there before the body. These bodies come, say, 40, 50, 60 years ago. Vasanas were there before that. And the last body, if you take, before that we had vasanas. So vasanas were way before, then the bodies will come. Bodies are a later development. So from that vasana, Maya brought out the world in front of us. Like the way we spoke about the world, Vishwam. So that is like the tree is packaged inside that seed, and how with the power of Maya from that seed, generation after generation, similar trees come, similar fruits come, similar seeds come, each of them with the same capacity to create another tree, another bunch of seeds, and another hundreds or thousands of banyan trees in those seeds. So imagine the potency behind it. Imagine that one seed where it started originally. From there, generation after generation, it has created banyan trees, fruits, seeds, banyan trees, fruits, seeds, banyan trees, fruits, seeds. Like that, it went on and on and on and on, isn't it? Similarly, we had some vasanas in the beginning where originally the vasanas started. From those vasanas, it started building the bodies. Body after body after body, it's bringing. And in each body we are creating more vasanas. Capital is building up there. And more vasanas are built up, more bodies. Result of all that. So that is what is called here. Prior to all these things happened, only Atma was there. Atma was present there. So, Kratam. But in order this to happen, two things were necessary for Maya. Maya does this from each of us to bring out that. And she required these two things, time and space. Time and space. So she managed, who? Maya managed. That's what he's saying there. Maya kalpida desha kala kalana vaichitra chitrikritam. Desha kalpana, desha kala kalpana kalana vaichitra chitrikritam. Maya with its, everything is too subtle, can't even understand, imagine all these things, isn't it? That is where in these cases you have to only accept what Shastram says. You can't say that, oh, prove it to me, that this is how it happened. How can you prove all these things? Desha kala kalana vaijitra chitraikratam. Rishis have found all these things, they had deep absorption in this, they were able to explain these things to us. Maya kalpidam, Maya does it, through help of desham and kalam, time and space, kalana, vaichitra chitrikritam. And she creates this magic in front of us. called creation. And therefore, because she does it, that is why we are not able to explain it. Because she has done it, we are not able to explain it, this world. These people who study all this, what do they call it? Geology, isn't it? Who going and digging things and bringing out the archaeology. And it's sometimes somewhat very funny also, because when you see their faith in this archaeology, you start wondering then how dull it has become, that brain, looking into this arc, as though it's a straight line graph. Everything should work according to your Maya. Is not a straight line graph. Maya does things. She can confuse you to such an extent. You'll dig out some skeleton somewhere and say, based on that, and they do some kind of what they call chemical analysis or whatever, with carbon etching and all that kind of, yeah. And they will tell you this is 13 billion years old. 13 billion, exactly. 13 billion. They've calculated it. Now, does it matter if it's 13 billion or 10 billion or 1 billion? What does it matter? This is our science research. And they have developed a science around that called archaeology. So this is, Prabhupada used to make joke of all these kind of things. He was very open about that. He says, you got so much time to waste in doing all these kind of things. After inquiring this, how old is this skeleton, this bone or this skull, and dig out all that and send it to laboratory and find out. Some of these things, interesting things, they do research, you know. It is so funny, the kind of things people are getting into to do research work. You'll see often they will report published here, and there will be a society where they will read out a paper what they have done, the research and the result, all kinds of things. So here it is, time and space. That's what they have used here, that this prapancham, this creation, Maya has created like this. That, it says here, Maya eva vijrumbhida bhavi maha yogi vaya sechaya. How is that done? Just like, you know, magicians, how they do things. They can create a world. Magicians can create a world. You know, in the Puranas, there's this story of Vishwamitra creating heavenly planets. Vishwamitra, for the sake of Trishangu, he created heavenly planets. There was a competition between Indra and Vishwamitra. Indra sent Trishangu back. And Vishwamitra sent him from here back to heavenly planets. When they started, Vishwamitra is very... you can't beat him in that. He is so decided, determined on that. So he says to Indra, if you won't take him there, I will create another planetary system, what you have got there, he said. And Vishwamitra created a whole set of heavenly planets for the sake of this person. Trishangu has to live there in their heavenly planets. So for the sake of Trishangu, he created a heavenly planets. That is Vishwamitra. So similarly, yogis also have got this power, that they can show you a world in front of them, and things world doesn't exist through their... This is all part of the siddhis. Aishwarya siddhi, what Krishna talks in the Ekadasha Skandam. He says about Aishwarya siddhis. It is one of the siddhis that you can create the world. Create the world. Creative power is given to you in that way. And it's like a magic. Like a magic. Once it so happened that a famous magician, he was invited by the king. This is not long ago, 300, 400 years ago. This king in Thiruvananthapuram has done this. He invited this famous magician, and he says to this magician, then you know the war between demigods and demons in the Bhagavatam what we have? Is that true? He said. Asked him this magician. Magician says, yes, I can show it to you. And he showed it to him. How is that? There was in front of the palace, where the king has his palace, right in front of that this war started between the demons and the demigods. And he could hear everything between the sword and the shield hitting each other. And blood was everywhere. Heads were falling down from the sky. Magicians have got all this kind of power to show you. You must have seen this, so many things. Like a common thing they will show is this. You allow a young girl to lie inside a box, cover it with a cloth, and he will ask you, have you seen that she has got into the box? Yes, she's got into the box. Then he takes a sword and cuts it into two pieces. And then when you look, she is coming out from somewhere else, walking in. All kinds of magic like this. Magician's job is that. So many interesting things they can. Children love it when they see these magics, isn't it? So, similarly, this Devasura Yuddham, so fighting between the demigods and the demons, was shown like this by this magician. And what happened was, not only the king saw this, he got so frightened, he wanted to jump from the top of the palace. He got so frightened that the war is happening there around him. At that time, the magician caught him and stopped him. Otherwise, he was going to jump from the top of that. And he also saw so many people running on the street. In that process, they fell and broke their leg while running because they got frightened with the war. Magicians are capable of doing all these kind of things. So, where there is nothing, they were able to create an experience like that. And they managed even to present many elephants there, which they didn't exist, but they were present there. So, similarly, that is Maya's way of showing things like that. Similarly, in a similar way like the magician does, Maya, with her power, brings this world in front of us, based on the vasanas in us, and gives us this experience of the world. Maya does that. If without her help, this is not possible to create this world. Without her help, it's not possible. Because it's she who knows this vasana. Everything is done so subtle. Vasanas inside us, and these vasanas has to come out, and for that other forms are necessary here, and interaction is necessary, and that way the world exists. So that is why Ragam Dvesham. And in that, when you get involved in karmam, kartutvam, bhoktutvam. Initially, there is only ragadvesham. But then ragadvesham will develop further when you engage in karmam. When karmam starts, kartutvam, bhoktutvam also comes. That means I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, also will come. And Maya has caught you then, finally. Through ragadvesham, she has got you half more, almost half. With kartrutva bhoktrutvam, she is in complete control of us. All the 100% we are in Maya's control then. So, but you cannot ask this question, why she is doing this? You can't ask that. That's why that word there, swechaya, on her own accord. Like we saw in that last verse in the Bhagavatam, Svechopatha Prutak Vabhu. Remember that word? Krishna also does the same thing, Svechaya. According to his wish, he'll do it. Here, also it says that Yogivaya Svechaya. Svechaya. According to Maya's desire, she will do what she wants to do. And you can't ask this question, why now, time, space? Because why now, if you ask the question, why like this, here? You can't ask that question because any question, if you are asking like that, it means it's based on time and space. Is it not? When you ask the question, why now, means time. When you ask the question, why here? Why it is happening here? Space. So, it is only utilizing these two things, time and space, this can be done. So, because time and space, all these questions are based on time and space, therefore, it is not possible to answer that. Where, for example, that, Just like for Diwali, you know, when they blow these crackers. So two people are sitting there, and one is deaf, and the other person is blind, and the crackers are going on. Crackers are going on there. So the person who is deaf, he is saying, there is some smoke coming out there. He says, he's deaf. He's saying there is some smoke coming out. So another person who cannot hear, he says, where is it? He says, where is it? So one cannot hear and one cannot see. One is deaf and one is blind. So the person who is asking, where is it happening, is blind. So it's a question of eye. He has not the eye, so he's asking that question. So if I tell him that, look here, here it is. He said, he doesn't have the eye to see, so he can't see it, isn't it? Similarly, when it blasts, the person who is deaf, he can't hear anything. He can only see the smoke, but he can't hear the sound. So he's asking that, when you tell him that, there, look at that, hear that blast, he says, oh, I can't hear. His ear is not functioning either, isn't it? So there, where is it? When is it? That question cannot be answered, isn't it? It cannot be answered because one is blind and another one is deaf. So how can you answer that question? So unless you have the eye and the ears to see and to hear, this question has no meaning. Where is it? The question has no meaning unless you have the ears and the eye. If both are there, if I ask you the question, where is the firecracker? And if you answer, it has some meaning. Suppose I have no ears and I have no eyes, whatever you answer, what meaning has it got? So, it is a joke, but we have to connect that with our situation, with self-realization. So, all the senses we have got, but the senses are useless. That's only showing us this world and what's going on in this world. And all our questions are only capable of answering that question that's coming from the senses. Because only senses can comprehend that. And this is the reason why we say that in relationship with Krishna, Atma, or the truth, don't ask questions. Because the difficulty is this, that the they are called Indriya Vedyam. Indriya Vedyam means, suppose an answer is given, that answer is only capable of satisfying what that senses can perceive. Is it not? Senses can understand, if senses are able to get it, then you will be satisfied. Because your mind will say, yes, I'm experiencing that. But this subject is beyond the senses. Senses cannot experience it. That is the problem. So therefore, there is only one question which in senses cannot utilize it, that who is experiencing this? That is the way to go. Instead of trying to inquire about the truth and trying to grasp the answer through the senses, the truth itself is not accessible to the senses. And because it is like that, instead of wasting time through the senses and the mind trying to understand the truth, the better proposition is that all this experience, who is experiencing it? or who is seeing the world, or who is seeing this magic. Instead of investigating and developing the knowledge of the Maya, Maya is doing all these things. She is throwing in front of us a whole universe with so many stars, planets and Milky Way and planetary systems and everything. Looking at all these things and getting confused where it's all coming from, because our tendency always is to bring everything within the perception of the senses and the mind. That's very strong in everybody. That is why you can see this, this tendency when we develop in the science field also. Windows, everything, when you look into the way we develop, to make it accessible for us. And then we say it's user-friendly. That is what user-friendly means. User-friendly means that it is something within the perception of your senses. That's what it is. So, therefore, we want to bring Bhagavadam also user-friendly. That won't work. Bhagavadam will never become user-friendly. You have to become Bhagavadam-friendly. Bhagavadam won't become user-friendly. We have to become Bhagavadam-friendly. That's the way to get Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam's knowledge is like that. It will never become user-friendly. We are trying to make Bhagavadam user-friendly. How will it become user-friendly? The topic is too big and our senses are too limited. Incapable, incompetent for everything. Full of vasanas inside, full of prarabdham inside. And all these agitated senses, the mind, the body, with all that you want to become Bhagavadam-friendly. How will it become user-friendly? Bhagavadam is on a different plane altogether. So this is the difficulty, that what Shastram is saying to us is that instead of wasting your time to understand the truth through your senses, find out who is experiencing all these things, because that person is the same person who is in the Bhagavadam spoken about. It's the same person. This is why self-realization is important. That's why it's called a spiritual life. You see that? That unless our attention goes away from the world and trying to bring even spiritual knowledge within the parameters of our body, mind and senses, rather leave the whole thing behind and go after that person who is experiencing all these things. Why? Because it's that person who is experiencing in the form of awareness in us, is the same person who is discussed in the Bhagavadam as the truth. Vastu. What is in the dharma projjita gaida votra paramo narmatsaranam sadam vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. So that vastu that is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavadam is that vastu who is experiencing all these things inside, other words, alma or the soul. So rishis are trying various ways to take us out of this world and take our attention towards the self. It is such a difficult job for them. That because first of all they reject the world, saying to us it's Maya, and Maya, how Maya does all these things, they have given us all that understanding. How Maya does it. They have told us about that this world, how creation happens, by giving the example of the dream state. And now they are saying that if as long as your attention is sucked by this world outside, you will never get it, because it's not possible. Maya is so powerful that she will keep on playing this game with us, and one universe after universe, after we have finished this universe, our search will go into the next universe. Now science are saying there is not only one universe, there are many universes. And these big people in Oxford and Cambridge and MIT and all that, they are doing research, finding out all the endless research it is. It is useless. Where is this research going to? And so it's a crazy situation. So that is why that Shastram is saying here this inquiry in the world must come to an end. And therefore what the rishis are saying, make the life simple so that you don't lose your time and energy in chasing these false things. So I think it is 10:30. We have to stop now. 11 o'clock we have to leave, isn't it?
Yes.
So we'll continue tomorrow then. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.